Millions of high blood pressure sufferers in China.
Everybody keep cool. Everybody keep cool. Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody keep cool.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
That's right. It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Rob, all I want to say to you is one simple thing.
Yes.
He outboxed that man.
He outboxed this man. Hello, Don. Hello, Mike.
We spent a little too much time listening to Rick Dees.
Rick Dees.
This morning. Oscar De La Hoya, he outboxed this man.
This guy. If you please.
Okay, we'll get into that in a moment. If you please, Rob, now.
Yes.
They open to the show.
Right after the school lunches. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Squirrel and all the ships at sea. Two guys who have always heeded the advice of the great Jerry Stiller. Don't hesitate to make a fist.
Oh. There you go.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
We'll tell you about that. Oh, and buckle your seatbelts, because do we have some stuff to tell you today.
Very, very exciting.
Hello, and thank you for listening coast to coast and nationwide. Still be available. Westwood Bun, darling, Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara right here. That's why we insist you refer to it as your Convict and Don and Mike Show.
Yes, I'll have just one more glass of wine.
Very proud to be employed by CBS. Radio station currently being run, our station here, WJFK, run into the ground by Ken Stevens. Also by his number two, Jeremy Coleman, Big Daddy Mel, ruling the world from New York City, our agent, Junior Soprano. And, you know, well, at this time I've already... Most days I've already said, but please, you know, get the kids out behind the minivan because I've just whipped it out. But look at that. I've already whipped it out. The show's already begun.
Look at that. Is that a California Dickie?
Mike, that is the CBS Eye.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And
wow.
It is another perfectly executed opening this big time. Major market radio show.
We know what the address of that is.
And I will use this as a point of reference on today's show. As we were leaving the CBS studios yesterday.
Yes.
Did you notice this joke that someone had taped to a wall?
No.
You know, we were doing the show yesterday from the set of The Young and the Restless. That's where they had all the DJs set up.
Right. Y&R.
A man walks into a psychiatrist's office wearing only underwear made of saran wrap. The psychiatrist says, well, I can clearly see you're nuts.
Okay, bada-bing.
There you go. That
bada-bing.
Was,
and you took it with you as
yes,
a souvenir.
Souvenir of the day at CBS.
Oh, man. I'm guessing that might have been, you know, he's recovering now. That might have been Barker that taped that.
The Arbitron radio show. We have 5 million national listeners for the show. And for that, we are humbled by your patronage. And we thank you. Here he is to my left and to your right. Buzz, if only you could fit into one of those dog containers, we could have brought you with us on the trip.
It would have been great. But as it was, I cried myself to sleep.
Oh, no.
There is everybody, Siffy the Elston Slayer. But Buzz,
yes.
As I mentioned to you, please don't feel bad.
Uh-huh.
You are not the only person nixed from the trip.
Yes.
We went sans engineer.
That's yes. What I hear.
Yes, yeah. Wendell was unable to make the trip, and he was very disappointed. Very, very disappointed.
And that's how very cheap this company is. Well, you know, here we are. You got to say one thing about us. We aim to please, and when we're not on one of our elongated Johnny Carson-like vacations,
right.
We come to work every goddamn day to give you the best possible show that we can.
Absolutely.
It was just hours ago that the last remaining members of this crew got on a plane and came here.
Yep.
And frankly, with the weather, we're lucky that we made it here in time for the show today. Of course, Mike bailed early last night and got the red eye back.
I did indeed, and I had a very nice flight. I actually was very relaxed. On the plane.
Oh, shocker. You were relaxed at about 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
I was indeed. I was in pre-flight mode, and you all knew I was. You were all very nice to me about that, incidentally.
She knew, too, incidentally.
I know. She did, too. Absolutely. And, she did know that I was in pre-flight. And, you know, the only tense moment after the show yesterday for me was when, you know, I thought you'd totally abandoned me, but I knew that was a a joke, too. And, you know, I knew it, so I was relaxed anyway. But it was, you know, it was funny. I was smiling. I would have smiled either way, even if, like, I had to take a cab back to the hotel, because it would have been, you know, I mean, it's...
All right, Buzz, let me just, before we get into all of it,
yes?
I'll just tease this segment by telling you that not only did we have lunch with Leah yesterday...
Oh, great.
Couldn't have been more gracious. She actually did say, I want to take you guys, you know, and when she says it on the air, it's one thing. And
right.
When she says it after the fact, and, you know, towards the end of the show, she said, do you really mean you want to take us out?
Yeah.
She came through.
Not only did we go to lunch with her, we spent the better part of the evening at her house last night.
Cool.
We will tell you about that in a moment, but in between... Oh, now, who would be on the hotline already, Robbie?
It's Brother Jim.
Oh. What did I tell you about this guy's timing?
Jesus, this is the way. This is a new record right here. This is a new record.
We've got so much great stuff to tell you about the trip to Hollywood.
Right.
I'm going to have to ask him to call back with the update on my mother. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, dude.
Hey, man. Listen, we just got back off the airplane from Hollywood, and we got tons of crap we have to talk about. Can you call later in the show with your update on Mom?
No, it wasn't an update on Mom.
When?
I was just going to say happy birthday to you. And
oh, well, thank you. Well, when is...
give you a road report, dude.
When is Mom's trial date?
She's supposed to be back in court next Monday.
Oh, it's next Monday. Okay.
That alone sounds
surreal. That's for
the
training order.
When is Mom's court date?
Okay, well, happy birthday. Thank you for the belated call. And where are you driving on America's highways and byways right now?
I got to be out in Central Park and JFK Airport tomorrow morning.
Mm. Oh, wow. So you're driving into the big city.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So where are you at now?
Youngstown, Ohio.
Okay, well...
Listen. Don't get hijacked.
Yeah, lock your doors, man.
Remember, there's some bad people around New York City.
I know.
You know, people are dying to hear the latest between you and Mom.
We are.
And you calling Mom into court and everything, but... Frankly, I've got to talk about our night in Los Angeles last night, Jimmy.
Well, that's cool.
Okay, so call later, man.
Well, I don't think it'll be today. I'll probably call you tomorrow.
Okay, well, then do call tomorrow.
Call us tomorrow, Jimmy.
Please. Okay.
Okay, I love you. I'll see you.
All right, dude.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
He's pissed.
Well,
he is. You know, you can always tell. He is worse than we are as far as wearing his heart on his sleeve. It's like, now I'm just going to call you and say happy birthday, give you a road report.
Well, how many times last week did he say to me, I'll call tomorrow?
We were actually, you were promoting it on the show. You were billboarding it. And now, you know, we're just kind of bursting with stuff to talk about.
Sure.
Because we had some pretty incredible stuff happened to us.
We were wide-eyed and giggly and giddy and still are, for that matter.
Oh, cool. My God. We're just out of our minds, in love with Leah Remini.
Sure.
And amazed that she would let four stalkers such as ourselves into her home.
I'm still really in a state of shock that you know, the lunch was one thing. And even the lunch was cool. Just the way she really got along with us, and it was just like having another guy there who just looked hot. Nice.
We went to eat with Leah. We then went to her house, and we'll find out. We're going to have her on the show today to find out if we overstayed the welcome.
Right.
I believe we could have stayed until the end of the game last night.
I know you believe that. I believe that we left. We probably were an hour late in leaving. That was just my. You know, at the one point when you said during the game, you said the first team that scores. That sounded great to me at the time. And then, you know, it just.
And then Dallas got a touchdown right away.
I know.
And then I said, all right, well, then we'll wait till the second team scores,
right,
and then we'll leave. And it was at that point that she was still saying, guys, don't stay. Take your shoes off.
She was being very, very polite. Very, very polite. It was just like it was one thing. I asked her at one point, I said, do you like football? No, I don't. I said, do you follow any sports? No, not really. So here we were monopolizing her television set in her home.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and everybody basically just watching football and only engaging her in any significant conversation when the commercial breaks were taken.
No, I gave her some small talk during the during the game because I was sitting next to her.
I know,
And you watched
you indeed
Monday Night Football instead of her show?
Oh, you see, her show didn't come on until 8 o'clock.
So the game was over by then.
The game starts at 5 o'clock.
Right, yeah.
So besides, I do think she wanted us out before, like, her mother and all of her real friends came
over. Absolutely, and I think we honored that, and we got, you know, and it was just,
It was too cool to be in a star's house, to go out to lunch with a star, and then to go to a star's house. And she is a major TV star.
Yes, she is.
It's very, very cool.
I enjoyed pointing that out wherever I could.
Oh, you know something? That's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Let me tell this story, okay? Because it should be told by somebody else, all right? It should be told by an independent witness, which I was. We're walking out after, getting done with everything. We're walking out, and there were people lined up, I believe, for one of the games.
Hollywood Squares.
They were bringing a new audience in. So outside of CBS Television City, there are hundreds of people lined up against the wall, and it's Don, myself, Rob Bay, and Charlie, and Leah Remini, the beautiful Leah Remini.
Yes.
And Don picks this moment to say, "Ladies and gentlemen, here is a major star. This is the star of King of Queens, Leah Remini, right here." Leah Remini is trying her best to grab Don's arm and hide behind him at this point. And he says, "Right here. A major television star."
Loud as I can.
And I thought that was it until we got to the car and we took a wrong turn. We had to turn around again, and that's when Don rolled down. Well, actually, we got into the car. Don rolls down the window and goes, "Ladies and gentlemen, in the back of this car is Leah Remini, star of The King of Queens." As we're driving past this row of people, we get down to the end of the block and we've taken a wrong turn. We have to drive back by those people. Sure enough, no missed opportunities here. "Ladies and gentlemen, if you will look on that wall, there is a picture of the woman who is sitting in the back of this car, Leah Remini, star of King of Queens." It was the funniest goddamn thing I've ever seen.
She loves
really,
that. Yeah.
She got the joke too. Yeah. I mean, it was just too funny. Because I'll tell you, I was squirming too. It was one of those feels where she's, it just was so over the top. And she said, "Ladies and gentlemen, a round of applause for the star of the King of Queens." And of course, half the people were right. Applauding, and then one guy at the very end. You hear one guy go, "Boo!" And then Don locks on the brake. Like, what are we going to do, fight?
Oh, no.
And he goes, "Yeah, excuse me. What was that, sir?" Who booed?
And she's in the back seat, and she hits me, and then she goes, "Drive! Just drive! Get out of here!
Drive before we have a mob scene."
Drive.
Mob rule. It was hysterical.
That's great.
And I did the same thing to her at lunch, too.
Yes, you did.
On the way into lunch and on the way out of lunch, we were taking an escalator up to this restaurant, and she was in front of me. Said, people were coming down on the escalator. He said, "Look, in front of me, major TV star. Anybody watch King of Queens?" There she is, right there. And, I didn't catch her protesting very much about that either.
I think it was funny. I think she got, you know what it was? She got the joke. She really thought it was hysterical because she knows that there's nobody out there in La La Land that would do that kind of thing. It was funny. It was great. It was spontaneous.
She's so great to be with. Before we talk about how we really just...
See, you put it that way, and if I put it that way, I'd be in trouble. I'd be just the way it sounded. It just didn't sound
great
right.
Great to be with.
She's great to be with. She's so great to be with.
She was
so
great
nice
to be with.
Be with you.
And I'll tell you something else. She's a touchy person.
She is. She
yes.
is. She touched
Hands
you
on.
Damn it. She's a touchy person.
Uh-huh.
And I wiggled my way into the spot on the couch next to her.
You could have curled up like a kitty cat in her lap if you wanted to. I mean, you were having a fantastic time.
I maintained the distance.
Right.
But every once in a while, as she was chain-smoking one of her 5,000 cigarettes that we found out that she chain-smokes.
Right. She did not as bad as me.
She would lean over. She'd say, "Honey, give me the ashtray." Mm-hmm. And then she would half lean over and just put her hand on my knee for a moment.
Yes.
Right? And I would just tense up and everything.
Of course.
Did you notice one thing that I observed on, I believe, two occasions that you might not have been aware of, that she popped a couple of aspirin? Or Tylenol.
She told me she was having her period.
Yeah, okay, so she did say that to you. Yeah,
yes.
Because I was just wondering whether it was the stress of having all of us over there.
No, and as a matter of fact, she said to me, it's nothing against you guys. She said, "I'm cramping like crazy."
Oh, boy.
Oh. Tough.
Just think how nice she was on top of all that.
Having her period.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And still invited us over to her house.
Where we sat there like monkeys on a, chimps on a Davenport.
I'd love to see a picture of that.
Oh, and you will, because the new picture that's going to go up on the refrigerator of King of Queens was taken in her house with me and Mike and Leah sitting on a couch together.
Excellent.
Beautiful home. Beautiful star's home.
I bet.
Yes, and now
classy.
We know where it is.
Yeah.
So before we tell you about all that, and we do have lots of stuff to tell you. Do you realize what fags we were when she was telling us about her new tile in her kitchen?
Right.
Do you realize how riveted we all were pretending to be when she was talking about the new tile in her
kitchen?
Well,
I get the real faggot work because mine was legit. I was actually really curious about her tile. I was very, very excited about it. And, of course, you know, we all said when we walked in, hang that mirror up. You know, she said, that's the way it's supposed to look.
It's Italian. It's supposed to be that way.
Supposed to be mounted on the floor. So we can, did you say it or was it Charlie Brown? We can hang that mirror up for you if you want before we go. So we feel like we've really done something.
Like we've done something.
Cool house, though. Really, we're just very comfortable.
After you had finished your bottle of wine.
Yeah, I did. I have to go on record
when
saying,
she was talking about their tile floor.
Right.
It was at that point that you actually laid down on the floor.
And placed my cheek.
And you said, ooh. Cool.
Feels cool.
Cool tile.
Cool tile is good.
That's where I stopped the car.
Mm-hmm.
Now, trust me, there's lots of stuff between where we are now,
right?
I'm doing this kind of out of order.
Sure, we're jumping around because we're excited.
We left CBS and we went. We had lunch with Leah.
Had a great lunch, nice restaurant.
And then we'll tell you all about it. And then she says, "Well, you know, why don't you guys take me home?"
Mm-hmm.
So we were driving her home, and then she says, "What are you going to do the rest of the day?" So what are we going to do? We're going to go
back to the hotel, watch football.
Yeah, watch the highlight show from the games on Sunday, from all the games we couldn't see because we didn't have the DirecTV.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to watch Monday Night Football. And she says, "Well, why don't you just come to my house. We watch the football games." So after a bit of mock debating, where we pretended like we didn't want to go.
All of us really thinking the same thing. God, please, yes, wouldn't that be cool? But we're all going, come on, you don't. I think from that end, don't you think we all played it pretty well from that end? As far as really just saying thank you. I mean, not being too subservient, but really letting her know how much it meant to us to go out to her house, that she was nice to bring us into her house.
Oh yeah, I think
we all played it well. Even monosyllabic out there.
Yeah. Well, although. He did become his rude, monosyllabic self late in the evening. Incidentally, after Leah had fed him, fixed him beverages, propped his feet up, propped Royal's feet up on the ottoman.
Yeah, he was the only move of any kind of politeness that he did was to peel off his stink shoes and he said, "Don't want to put shoes on ottoman."
And at one point she said to him, "Oh, Charlie, are you doing?" She said, "Listen how nice she is. Is it Charlie? Do you want to go down to the guest room and lay down?
Right.
Are you tired?" And it was at that point that some of the Broyhill that we all know and love came out.
Right.
Went, "No." Just like that.
Yeah.
Just
no.
One word, got that foul look on his face. No.
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 Me watch TV.
Me not want to sleep.
And he really, you were making conversation during the game, but he went into a...
he was in a coma. So we're on the way to Leah's house after we've had lunch, and she says, "Well, you got to stop and buy me some cigarettes."
Mm-hmm.
So he said, "All right, well, just tell me where to go. I'm driving this piece of crap Oldsmobile." And so she leads us into an area with a liquor store.
Right.
And Mike says he would run in and get the cigarettes because Mike is going to buy himself some cigarettes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Mike says, "I'm going to buy a bottle of wine."
Yeah, I'm going to buy a bottle of wine because if I'm going to be having a glass of wine getting ready for my earlier flight, I don't want to go into somebody.
And also,
she's nice enough, she's bringing this into her house. I don't want to clean her out. And, I also don't want to be in a situation where, I have half a glass.
And I think also the thought was, hey, it's like a nice gift almost to say, "We're coming to your house. Let us at least bring a bottle of wine."
She said she had a bottle of wine there, and what I was going to do is just bring it up so if we, killed the bottle of wine that was there, she would be left with a bottle of wine. As it turns out, the bottle that I brought was the one that I finished.
By yourself.
Sorry.
Sorry. So Mike gets out of the car and runs in this place. And
I knew going in when I got out of the car, I said the comment I made to Don, because, just because of the circumstances, it was just us. Mm-hmm. If it was just us guys, I know I could jump out and grab something and, nobody's doing it. But because Leah was in the car, we're on the schoolyard and we are in prime show off mode, I said to Don as I got out of the car, I said, "See you back in Washington." Because I knew it was just a preemptive. And then the question is not, "Hey, I did it and he didn't expect me." It was a question, does he ever come back or does he just, because I knew as soon as I jumped out of the car, that Don was going to go 70 miles an hour and drive away from the liquor store.
So Mike gets out, and I do exactly that.
I will tell you, if I had come out of that store and I'd seen you sitting in the parking space, I would have been disappointed. And I don't know if you were watching me from the time
I
came up.
No, listen, I'll tell you exactly where we were.
Right.
We went behind the shopping center.
Were you able to watch me the whole time coming out?
Yes.
So you did see the smile on my face when I came out.
Yeah. So I hid over by the corner of the shopping center, and she says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm hiding from Mike." She says, "Why?" I said, "Because
He expects that we're not going to be there.
Yeah,
and I said, and now the question is now how long will this joke last?
So I go out to the front, and then I look to my left, I look to my right. It's a good hiding place that he's picked because I cannot see him either direction.
So we can see Mike perfectly.
At this point, I smile, and I light up like in a movie. I'm just sitting there on the corner just relaxing, and I'm going to give it, really, seriously, I'm going to give it 20 minutes. I'm going to give it 20 minutes to a half an hour before maybe I wander over to a payphone and say, please take me back to the hotel.
We only made you wait five.
Yeah, only five.
And the only reason we made you wait five is because at one point you sat down on the ground.
Right.
And then when your head was out of sight,
right.
That's when she again slaps me.
She starts to freak out a little bit.
This is not funny. I said, no, this is hilarious. She says, go pick him up.
At that moment, I stand and I think I heard a hornby. I stand up, and there, of course, are all the heads in the car. Everybody kind of chuckling, and then it was off to her house after that.
Yeah, well, let's do everything in order. First,
okay,
want to tell you, I'm positive that after yesterday's show, we will never be invited back to be part of the CBS radio media press junket again.
Really? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure. Hard to say. It depends on how much impact certain things had. But well, I think you made the best of the situation after the bad situation occurred.
Yeah, there was some stuff that happened off the radio that we thought it would be best not to talk about while things were happening.
Right.
At one point, I don't even remember who it was we were interviewing yesterday. I'm sure that you guys listening heard this happen a lot of times, but one of the times we had somebody on, they come over to be interviewed, and then when the celebrity got up and walked away, you know, we are live, unlike all of the other disc jockeys there who are taping these 5-minute, in essence, commercials for CBS.
Right. Little vignettes.
You know, where they're really trying to do a real-time show.
And what we do is after the interview, we have a little chat, you know, talk about how it went, talk about, you know, you heard it.
Typical. Yeah. So I think it might have been after Betty White, perhaps, or, you know what, I don't know, after Dick Van Dyke. I don't know who it was.
Right.
But Mike and I, and it's obvious, we are sitting there with headphones on, talking into microphones, looking at each other. Robbie's running the control panel there. It's obvious. We're doing a show. We're on the air.
Sure. And I think it's really important to point out here that we are really trying to get guests on the show that will be the most entertaining and that will be the biggest names for our listeners. That is really
That's your job.
What we're trying to do. We want to have the people that we feel are going to be interesting. And in many cases, yesterday, there is little or no respect for what we're trying to do. There is simply the attitude, well, this individual is on television, and here, they're ready now. Well, I'm sorry, we've got a show to do, and it really doesn't work out that way. It can't work out that way and allow us to provide an entertaining show. And at one point, there was someone who, you know, we had a lot of people where they would just say, okay, we're ready now
so
go.
We just got done talking to whatever celebrity it was, and this publicist walks up, and she had next to her another one of these generic people.
Yeah, no offense to this perfectly pretty lady who's on a television show.
I don't know who she is.
We didn't know who she was. We weren't really prepared. We weren't ready to go. And we're talking about the last segment. We are basically live doing this chat, and this woman is 2 inches away going, okay, we're ready, right? Uh-huh. With no respect for what we're doing.
And I looked up. I said, excuse me, we are in the middle of something here. She says, well, we are ready. And I said,
that
well,
was on the air yesterday. You heard
yes,
that.
I heard that yesterday.
I said, well, we're not ready. And I gave her the sign, like, go away. And then when she turned the corner, I said, you know, what a bitch. Who's a bitch think she is? And then we go on and we continue to do the show.
In fairness to you also, as she walked away, you made that comment thinking
behind her back
that she was completely out of earshot.
Well,
you know,
she was. Somebody told her.
Oh yeah, really? Yeah. I didn't even know that part.
So then it's about an hour later. And we're doing a commercial set, and as a matter of fact, it was right before Kevin Pollak was going to come on the show, so we had about an hour left in the show. We got 6.5 minutes during the spot, so I'm going to go take a leak. So I get up, and I walk out, and I go to this area where they had like a little spread of deli tray and stuff like that. And I go walking by, and this publicist comes up to me, and she goes, and now at this point, keep in mind, there have to be 30 to 35 people, a lot of CBS publicists and staff and stuff, all of them wearing their smart CBS blazers, and some other disc jockeys, and frankly, some people from TV shows, like Craig Kilborn was standing out there.
Yeah, it's a real crowd.
Okay? She comes up to me and she goes, who the hell do you think you are? And I'm walking by her going to the bathroom, and I said, come again? And she said,
You are a pig.
This is when I began to cry and I ran away.
Of course.
I said, excuse me? She said, how dare you call me a bitch?
This is a strategy that has been employed by people, men and women, that I've seen before. I know the strategy. You know, challenge and confront and make the scene in front of as many people as you can, mm-hmm. thinking that that will be your, you know, your biggest asset. Well, wrong pony.
Yeah. Sorry. Right. You know, I didn't run away from her.
Good.
I stood there and I looked at her and I said, what are you talking about? She said, I have been on every television show and every radio show. I've never been treated as rudely as you treated me. And then you called me a bitch. I said, well, we were doing a show. Unlike these other schmucks, we're doing a live show. You walk in the middle of a live show, that's not proper.
You know, clue, headphones on, talking mm-hmm. into microphones, mm-hmm. animated discussion, we're on. We're not really ready yet. You know what I mean?
I said, that's not proper. You didn't handle things the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And now at this point, this woman is, not exaggerating at all, six inches from my face. She's staring this close, and she's staring at me, and she goes, I just wanted to say to your face, you're a pig. What do you think about that? And I said, you're a bitch. She said, did you hear that? He called me a bitch again. Now, at this point, the CBS people, they come over.
Oh, God. That's when it's like, it's starting, you know, that's when it's going.
All the people in the CBS Blazers are coming over, and they come over to me, and they say, why don't you just move along?
I'm basically this entire time been as far away from this scene as I can be. Yeah. I'm standing over by a little TV monitor, and I come back over at that point. I think that's right about the time I came back over. And you know, there may be one person or two in between you at this, and this woman is staring just with this look, and you are looking back at her with the same look,
like,
and it's an impasse right now.
She thinks she's going to, like, intimidate me by giving me the evil eye,
mm-hmm.
and the lady from CBS says to me, why don't you please walk away? And I said, listen, I'm going to the bathroom during a commercial set. She came up to me. She started this. I'm not going to be the one to walk away. I say, I stood there like that. I folded my arms. I said, I'm not walking away. She should have to walk away. And then she folds her arms and she goes,
right.
I'm not going anywhere. And I said, well, fine, then we're at an impasse. I said, but I just want it known for the record that this lady started it with me. I don't know this lady from Eve. I'm walking through to go to the bathroom. Then at this point, some disc jockey from Detroit or something comes out from behind his partition and he goes, hey, can we keep it down out here? I'm trying to do an interview over here. And then at that point, I said, fine, you know, because right away, every eye in the room is on me.
Of course.
Right? And I said, okay, fine. I said, last thing I said to her, I said, how'd you like to come on the show and have this argument with me on the radio? She said, oh, I'm sure your listeners would love to know you called me a bitch. I said, my listeners heard me call you a bitch.
I know.
Come on the show. She says, I wouldn't give you that satisfaction.
A very, very ugly scene, man.
So, you know, then we had to go back. We had to go right on the air and we decided not to talk about it.
Yeah, in fairness to the CBS people that were there, we decided we would, you know, not do it there. You know, really, there, you know, there were other bigger fish to fry. We had a lot of people we wanted to talk to.
Right, they were, and you know, the CBS people were upset. And I'll tell you what I was upset about was the fact that later in the show, then during a commercial set, when one of the CBS liaisons came by, I said to her, "Listen, I want to tell you about that. I'm sorry that happened.
Yeah, you apologize to the CBS.
I said, good, I'm sorry good. For my involvement in that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but you were there. She started it with me when we were taking a commercial break. And the lady from CBS said, I know, she was wrong. I just wish you would have walked away.
Yeah.
I said, well, you know, for the record, I apologize, but I would have appreciated someone in the middle of all of this coming up and saying to her,
mm-hmm.
why don't you walk away
right.
because you started this. But then it gets back to the whole thing about why we won't be invited back again.
We wondered after that, right after that, we were sitting there and we had a few moments between the commercials and the next guest. And we were all speculating, well, we believe we've seen our last guest
yeah.
for the day.
because, frankly, I don't know why they continue to invite us out because Every year when they invite us out,
same battle, same war every year.
They mm-hmm. say the same thing. And every celebrity that was on yesterday, Ted Danson, mm-hmm. Kevin Pollak, Dick Van Dyke, Betty White, we get done with the segment. We're taking off the headphones. They all come back and they say, listen, I want to tell you something. Those publicists were absolutely wrong about you guys. Mm-hmm. And we'd say, what do you mean? They told us to watch out for you guys.
Everyone, every single one does.
The
that.
Stars like you. They said you guys were trouble.
Yeah,
I heard that. I don't remember a year where we had more fun and a better time with the guests that came on the show. We really, really did.
It was great.
It was, I mean, everybody, I mean, the right questions were asked. It was a great time. It was lots of fun. I single out Dick Van Dyke and his son who really, I mean, if it was said to me one time, it was said four times that they had the best time with you guys.
Sounded
I mean,
like
that's,
it.
That's the kind of day it was.
Do you know the greatest moment for me was off the radio when Dick Van Dyke came up to me and he said, can I ask you something? I said, of course. He says, are you really that crazy about the Van Dyke show? And I said, listen, you're it, man.
Right.
You're gone. And he said, I just want to shake your hand. I want to say thank you. And then he sent his publicist back.
Yes, publicist back to get another picture.
Because Dick Van Dyke is going to put our picture up in the operating room or in the ready room at the hospital for diagnosis murder.
Yeah, the big bulletin board.
Yeah.
You'll be on all the shows.
Yeah, so the point is, all the people that come on the show, they were all happy. But the CBS people, like, prepped them that there would be trouble. And because there was that vibe to begin with,
right,
it made things very uneasy for us doing the whole show yesterday.
You're dealing with three different levels here. You're dealing with employees of CBS that have to work this operation. You're dealing with an independent promotion company that sets this whole thing up. And then you are dealing with individual publicists, okay? Mm-hmm. They all fall into that huge area out in Hollywood of what are affectionately referred to as bottom feeders.
Leeches.
Okay,
right.
These are people really.
And they are really.
They, mm-hmm. You know, they think that they're more important than they are. You know, mm-hmm. they really try to.
I've said this before, but frankly, I just have to say it again to get it off my chest. They want, because they gave us airline tickets and because they gave us a hotel room,
right,
they want for one whole show, all we will do is sit there as they parade out troll after troll after troll after troll, and we are supposed to ask these trolls, who nobody's ever heard of, mm-hmm. hey, tell us about your new CBS show.
Right.
What's the plot of the show? Hey, looks fantastic. What time is the show on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not going to do that.
Like you said, a lot of those shows will be off the air in 3 weeks.
I gave them a list. The first fight I had was when we walked in the door yesterday at 11:30, and I said to the head publicist, I said, okay, I see the list of celebs. I've checked next to the names of the ones we want.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, oh, no, this won't do. And I say, why won't this do?
See, and that right away is, you know, I would, they mention the powers that be, Les Moonves, you know, who was chief of program.
And they mentioned Mel.
But Les being the guy, apparently, who's the hands-on guy out there, you know, they mention him so much. And I would bet you $1 million that if you sat down with him and explained what we were trying to do and what we felt our responsibility was, nobody would understand it more than he would. Because we were promoting. You know, you get somebody from, like Betty White, for example. Well, she's a great star. We want to talk to her. Well, she's going to be on one of their new shows,
right.
So that counts. You know what I mean?
You know, they got a goddamn four-hour commercial yesterday. But because we're not like the other disc jockeys mm-hmm. there who just bent over and took it,
mm-hmm. right.
We ended up, you know, getting this rap, which is why this fight I had with this lady was magnified, mm-hmm. because what people thought then is, oh, listen, look at, they really are trouble. Why, look at the fight.
They're trouble because we feel that our show on the radio, yes, we feel it's just as important for us to offer a good product as you great people out at CBS feel it's important to offer your product up as a good product. We really do. We feel that way. And it's the most, you know, it's the most important thing to us. You know, it's great to be out there, great to have an opportunity to chat with stars. But, hey, this show, for us, is the most important thing we're doing.
Good job.
And I've got to say, Leah Remini has balls, because in the middle of all of this, I've just had this fight with the publicist, and nobody, with the exception of Mike and Rob, will come within 20 feet of me.
Right.
I'm walking through this big room, and she comes up, and she puts her arm around me, and she goes, sweetie, what have you done now? And I said, I just told that. Called the publicist a bitch. And she said, well, good for you. She said, good for you. She said, I'm going to talk to some of these other nobodies. Then I'll be back over to be on your show.
And she was great.
And
she made the day special. She really did.
Turned a lot of heads, did she?
I'll bet.
When, at the end of our broadcast,
mm-hmm.
when we packed up our equipment, And we walked out with her?
Yeah, but a lot of people were going, the look, you know, you're right. I forgot that until you brought it up. The look on the faces of some of those
horror,
publicists.
Amazement.
Amazement, bewilderment, confusion,
because,
and a little dread.
After all that, you walked out with one of CBS's biggest stars.
Right.
That had to kill him.
Yeah, it did. See you later, everybody. You know, with a little page, one of those CBS pages with the red blazer right next to us.
And that was a sweet moment because they had limoed Leah in, and she said in front of about 30 people, she said real loud, you know what? Take the car. I don't need it. These guys will be driving me home.
Oh, and beautiful. Leah Remini hopped into, jammed herself into the crappiest rental car in Los Angeles.
That Oldsmobile. Did you check out the busted antenna on that Oldsmobile,
yes.
too?
Yeah, I found it out when we were loading our stuff into the trunk, and Rob shut it, and the thing went, bah, 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 because the antenna was, like, sagging into the trunk.
It was like a Fred J. Sanford, you know, like, right off the a trash dump car that we
and
had rented.
Did you say it was purple? Did I hear you say
yes.
it was purple?
Yes, a purple Oldsmobile.
Oh, yeah.
That was the pick-me. Up that and I paid extra to get that one.
It's okay if you look at it from the front. It's a side view that really scares you when you see that. Side view looks like something that was maybe made in the Soviet Union.
So we got done with the CBS thing, and frankly, you know, we're reeling because we're not quite sure how everything went. The people from CBS, when we left, it's not like we got a bunch of handshakes for the people there saying, hey, great job, thanks for helping us out. It was like...
Did you notice the guy that was there last year when we had the same problems? The guy with the red hair and the glasses who... was he as chilly to you guys as he was to me? I mean, really didn't want to have anything to do with it.
The guy with the sailor suit on, you mean?
No, no, the guy with the suit on. The guy that was wearing tie. He was a red-haired guy. He was one of the publicists, one of the CBS guys, and he was there last year. And we had actually nice conversations with him this year. He didn't want to say anything to me. He was just kind of sitting there going, hi, hi. Okay, go back to the broadcast site.
No, I didn't talk to anybody. As a matter of fact, I had what for me what was an awful moment when I found out when we were done with the show. At one point during our show yesterday, when we were interviewing somebody, this old guy came up and stood about a foot away.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And I stopped the show and I said, yes, hello, can I help you?
I remember.
And this guy said, I'm a fan. And I said, oh, that's great, but we're doing a show here. Do you mind? So the guy, you know, tucked his head down and walked away. Rob comes to me later and he says, you know who that was? That was John Rucker's Landecker. The guy that was my goddamn idol when I was a kid.
The guy that you modeled your career after.
Yeah, I mean, the guy was it.
Did you have any, I mean, you see, he's totally unrecognizable.
Frankly.
The years have not been kind.
No, and Hippie. He did not look well.
He really didn't look too well.
He didn't look like the same John Landecker that I had known.
I remembered when he came over because I thought he was a publicist.
Yeah.
Because he was just standing there and he said the same thing. When he said big fan, I thought it had a bit of a mock tone to it. And so I said, yeah, right. And because I really thought he was just a publicist who was saying, I'm just here, I'm protecting my celebrity, but I'm a real, that's what I thought when I saw the guy.
I had an embarrassing moment too because I know him. As a radio history, he's really great, and I've talked to him on the phone. I booked him on this show once, and he said to me, he said, tell Don John Landecker says hi. And I say, oh, is he here? Yes, it's me. I said, hi, how are you?
I felt awful when Rob told me that. So when our show was over, the first place I went was to the booth where John Landecker was, and I walked over and I said to the engineer, I said, hey, is John Landecker? And they said, no. He taped some stuff. He's already gone. Mm. I said, oh, well, crap. And the guy said, oh, you're Don, right? And I said, yeah. He said, yeah, John really wanted to say hi to you.
Oh.
So it's like, oh, I felt like garbage. So how gay is this? I went back to the hotel, and on the hotel stationery, I wrote John Landecker a big letter, handwritten letter. Said, you know, I'm sorry, and I know radio's full of a-holes and jerks, and we were having problems with publicists, and you're the last person in the world that I would ever be rude to, and, you know, I love you.
I love you, man.
It was so gay.
Would you leave it at the front desk?
Yeah, I FedExed him.
Oh, yeah,
I FedExed it to his radio station.
Very good.
I hope he would have gotten it. Well, he'll get it tomorrow.
Very good.
He'll get it tomorrow.
We've learned that time is not kind to aging disc jockeys. That's what we've learned.
And I have such few friends in the radio business as it is, and there's one guy that was an idol of mine, and I had no idea when he came up.
It made sense to me after I heard it because of the way he said, oh, I'm a big fan. You know, and he had kind of that bad DJ voice.
I can't believe I was so rude to him. Was he, can I help you? Can I help? I mean, this is the disc jockey who, for the first 10 years of my life, I tried to be just like every day. Mm-hmm. When I would go in and do a show, I would think I was John Records Landecker. And now here he is coming over to say hello to me on our show. And I was simply too much of an asshole.
How would Larry Lujak have handled that?
Oh, worse. Larry Lujak. Larry Lujak would not have come up to say hello, Mike. That I guarantee you. So, listen, we left CBS. We got in the car with Leah. We got going. We get out on the highway. And at that point, I think all of us really, we kind of felt that she was doing this just out of an obligation.
Absolutely.
And I know we were giving the vibe to her that we thought she was taking us out as an obligation because she kept saying, you guys don't want to go to lunch with me, do you? You don't want to go to lunch with me. I can tell you don't want to go to lunch with me. And we all, of course, want to go to lunch with Leah Remini.
Let me tell you something about her. She really, whether it's obligation, whether she legitimately likes us, whether she's just being nice, it doesn't matter. Because her company really is, she is fun to hang with. She really is. She brings a lot. She's one of these people who is, I mean this, she is not just funny because she has funny lines written for her. She is funny. She was funny when we got to the restaurant because you know people like this who want to order right away, where you want to order right away, and at one point she says, now I like to order, let's not waste time, you guys know what you want. As soon as we sat down, the menus weren't even out. She says, you guys know what you want. And it was funny because I knew she was kidding, but yet she was serious. She really wanted to be ordered. Waiter comes over and says, do you want me to get your drink orders? I'll take your drink orders and I'll come back. And she goes,
and the whole time, you know, so Hollywood, her cell phone is ringing every 2 minutes.
Sure.
And in the middle of a conversation with us, she just ignore us.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, really? So you guys came all the way? Hello? Oh, yes, hi. Oh, I'm at lunch with Don and Mike. Yes. Yeah. Okay, well, what time do you... I mean, these conversations would just happen.
Yeah, and we just... she showed her... She is a Hollywood star with that phone ringing. Because that phone, you know, both at the restaurant and at her house. And it was so funny because at her house it would be, I'm here with some radio personalities. Yeah. That made me laugh every time. Every time that phone, what? Oh, I'm just here with some radio personalities.
Hold on. We got a ton of stuff to tell you about our lunch with Leah and then... our incredible takeover of her house.
Yes, we really did. It was just, it could have been at our homes.
Yes, and how we overstayed our welcome. You could be right about that. And you know what? I realized what I said at one point, and I was really being honest. And I had had nothing to drink, so this was not wine talking.
No.
And as a matter of fact, I was wired because she had just made me a
strong cup of coffee.
A giant cup of this coffee. She said, this is strong coffee. It's very strong. I said, bring it on. I'm ready for it. At one point, Mike wanted to go to the airport. Charlie wanted to go because he was tired. Rob, I think, kind of ambiguous. Rob would have gone or stayed.
Of course.
At one point, we said, really, at the beginning of the third quarter, no matter what happens, we have to go. You've been so nice. We've been at your house for over 3 hours now. We have to go. And she said, well, no, you're welcome to stay. And I said to her, I said, you know what? He's got to go to the airport, and he's tired. But if I had my way, I'd stay. And I didn't get back from her. Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, of course. The fantasy becoming reality.
At that point, she just said, well... Yeah. You know, if he's got to catch his plane. Yeah.
All right. Do you know when I determined that it was time to get going? And it was, you know, kind of like I did have an earlier flight, but it was more or less about a lot earlier than that. I started just saying, okay, this is might be real cool to depart at this time. Yeah. Became apparent to me the less time she was spending in the room was indicative of the fact that maybe it was time to go. You know, there are a lot of times where she would go down, oh, I'll get that for you, because she was, what it was not our company. It was that this is somebody, you know, who is not a football fan. In a room where everybody's just going,
Now, we did get some non-football stuff out. We found out how much she paid for her house.
Right.
We found out some good stuff about Jerry Stiller that we'll tell you about.
Oh, good. Absolutely.
We found out some good stuff about Kevin James. We found out some stuff about CBS. And she's nervous. So we talk about Letterman. She's going to go on Letterman in a couple of weeks.
Very excited about that.
No, so we still got plenty of good stuff to tell you about our trip to Los Angeles. And as a matter of fact... Let's do it right now and qualify. Everybody that wins a prize on the show this week qualifies for a trip for two to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
The trip includes airfare, 3 nights hotel, and a taping of a CBS television show.
You'll have a ball. It's really fun. It's surreal when you do that.
Tune in to CBS tonight for the season premiere of JAG. And if you're the 100th caller, we'll give you a chance to win $600 with the return of Secret Sound number 3.
Ah, fantastic.
You know, sorry we were not able to get that on yesterday, but we were so worried with no engineer that we wouldn't be able to take phone calls.
And we're still at number 3, right?
Yes, secret sound number 3.
It's amazing. It's a tough one.
Lies straight ahead. If you are the 100th caller, good luck. Phone number 1-877-365-3636.
This the rather Moses-like Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
I was Leah, of course, with Kevin. On their show that won the time slot last night.
Ah, as you predicted. As you reassured Ms. Remini all afternoon.
I spent a lot of time saying to her, you know, she's very insecure.
Well, all show business people are, ourselves included.
She's more insecure than even you and I are, though. I mean, how many times during the afternoon she said to me, do you really think we're going to have a good rating?
Right.
If we get beat by 2020, it'll be all over.
Right.
And at one point she said, you know, if we don't have a good ratings, I won't be able to afford this house.
Of course.
But we'll call her in a second on the set of King of Queens.
Good.
To ask for her her feelings about our visit to her home.
Excellent.
And we have more stuff to tell you about her house, too. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Did you already get the caller 100?
Yeah, it's you, my friend.
Oh, wonderful.
Hi, what is your name, please?
My name is Justin.
Justin, where are you from?
Sacramento.
Justin, thank you for listening on good old KHTK. You've won the Dave Letterman T-shirt, courtesy of CBS.
CBS.
Tune into CBS tonight for the season premiere of JAG. Plus, you've qualified to win this week's grand prize. Trip for two to L.A. Hope you stay at the same hotel we stayed at. Very nice joint in Beverly Hills. And you get to go see the taping of a CBS TV show. Please make sure you are listening to Friday's episode when we give that away, okay?
Which CBS TV show is it?
I don't know.
I don't know?
The new show called Everybody Hates Don and Mike.
Yes. Can a cast of thousands of CBS publicists really get their way with the head of the network? Join them for Everybody Hates Don and Mike.
Sounds like a good program.
Ken Stevens was just telling me in a hallway that he thinks that'd be an outstanding premise for a sitcom. Would be...
Right. You and the publicist that you had the argument with because you generated real heat.
Right.
That's right.
You know, kind of like opposites attract and stuff.
Conflicting Worlds, Thursday night on CBS. Yes, Don Geronimo is a successful DJ who can't stop arguing with the local publicist.
Co-starring Bobby Hollingsworth. All right, well, then, listen, we're giving away Friday. What do you care what the show is? It's a free trip to L.A.
I'm just curious.
All right, be listening to Friday's episode. And now, Secret Sound number 3. Here we go.
The man with the money makes a dark day sunny. Who's a fella every day, gives a bundle away. Yeah. Who's a guy with the prizes that'll light up your eyes?
Such a cheesy edit.
You guys are crazy.
Are you ready? Have you heard Secret Sound number 3?
I don't believe so.
Well, then I will give you a free listen.
Free listen coming up here, boss.
Okay, this one's on the house. Listen up.
So sick.
Yeah, I heard. I got a question. Is it something that I'd hear in my house every day?
Listen, please, will everybody stop with the questions? It is a sound that is heard every day.
Okay.
If I was to answer that question, if it was something heard specifically in your house, it might give away a clue as to what it actually is. But trust me, it's an everyday sound.
Okay.
Okay? When you know what it is, you'll kick yourself because you probably...
You are protective of the secret sound.
Yes, I am, Mike.
You truly are.
Yes, I am.
Man asks a simple question just well, like, and I was rooting for you to answer that question, too.
Can't answer it, though.
I would, too.
Robbie, wouldn't you agree? Can't answer might give away what the secret sound is?
All I care to say is it's something you'd hear on any average day.
Any average day. Yes, okay.
Okay.
Thanks for your help.
We will play you the sound.
All right.
Play the sound again, and then we'll give you 15 seconds to think about it.
Sounds great.
Okay.
All right, I'm with you. I'm trying to guess this with you, sir.
So good luck. Here we go.
Caller, name this noise.
That's the noise. Now we will give you 15 seconds to think about it. Secret sound is worth $600 now. You know, we decided to just stop adding. I thought you were going to sing there, Mike.
No, I figured it out.
Decided to just stop adding $10 every hour. Every once in a while, we'll just add $100 to
that.
And we thank you for that, Mike.
All right.
For $600, what is secret sound number 3?
Garbage disposal.
Would you please repeat that?
Garbage disposal.
Damn. Oh, really?
We're sorry.
Mike, you've got your guess?
I have my guess, and I know what it is. I hate to bum you guys out. Is that it?
Go ahead and give it away, Mike.
No, Mike, it is not. It is not the last drip coming out of a wine bottle.
Oh, darn it!
No, it's not. Thank you, though, my friend.
All right, thank you. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you. Hold the line, please.
Darn, I thought I had it. I thought I recognized that sound.
So, listen, we go out to lunch with Leah Remedy yesterday afternoon. She takes us to not a swanky place.
Perfect place. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, really. Perfect for what we wanted, perfect for relaxation, outdoors, you know, to eat outdoors, very cool in Los Angeles.
Very nice. We had a wonderful time with her at lunch. We got done eating. We fought about the bill, right, because she wanted to pay, and then we didn't want her to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the thing where she gave the waiter the credit card, then I got up and I took the credit card, and they said, no, we'll pay.
Right.
And it was at that point that I thought, this was really great. She's a very nice lady.
Very nice.
You know, she's a man of her word.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did she actually take us out to lunch, she wanted to buy us lunch.
Jumped in our rent-a-car to go to lunch. I mean, that was so cool.
I thought, at the very least, you know what we're going to get out of this? Well, besides the fact that we went to lunch and we got to talk with her for about an hour, we're going to find out where she lives because now we have to take her home.
Very, very cool.
Right? So we pull out of the parking lot, and it was at that point she says, so what are you guys doing the rest of the afternoon? I said, well, we are going to go back to the hotel and watch the football game. She says, well, why don't you come to my house? And at that point, we all said, no, come on now.
No, you don't need to do that.
You have been nice enough. And she says, no.
Who said all this? That was the line. You really don't need to do this.
Well, that's good.
Shut up. She said, I wouldn't ask you if I didn't want you to go. Now, come on. Just stop and buy me some cigarettes. So we stopped at this joint. We pulled the trick on Mike where we parked the car and made him wait for about 5 minutes. And then we started to drive. And our only point of reference was that she lived somewhere near where Dick Van Patten lived.
She did. Oh. In the same general direction. And we were very, very, excited about being, I guess that's kind of where some Hollywood players.
Good hood.
You know?
Her house is a lot nicer than Dick Van Patten's house.
Her house is infinitely nicer. Might be, you know, it's a different house altogether, but it was, her house was super cool. Really, really beautiful house.
So we pull up in front of the house, still not believing, you know, that this is happening. That, you know, it's Leah Remini, and we're just going to go in and watch TV.
Right.
So we park the car, she says, this is it.
We get the whole tour, the VIP tour.
Oh, yeah. Not only did she take us, everywhere. Laundry room, bathroom.
Workout room.
She took us into her bedroom.
Oh. Boudoir.
She took us into her bathroom.
Beautiful photographs, incidentally, in the bedroom of her and her man.
These are kind of cheesy.
Yeah, I know.
They're like Gone with the Wind photos.
Yeah.
Where he has his shirt off and she's like all primped up and stuff.
Yeah, but primped up, she looks good in those. They might be cheesy, but she looks good.
And she showed us her bathtub in her bedroom where she has all of these sunken-in candle holders. And she has a fireplace.
Yeah, in the tub. Very nice.
At the end of the tub.
Very cool.
It's like a gas fireplace.
Showed us her tree. You know?
She told us that Access Hollywood came to her house to do like a Stars of the Rich and Famous thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that she bought a tree to put in this corner.
Didn't they tell her to buy a tree? They said they did. Seriously.
That's typical.
To make this look better, you need a big tree. And then they didn't, like, reimburse her for the tree.
Oh, so she was pissed. She told us, you know, $700 for a goddamn tree.
It was so funny, too. They said they wanted a bigger tree, and there was a big tree in there.
It's such a Hollywood house.
Yeah, and a really beautiful home. And really nice house.
And it's got the winding stairs, and it's got, you know, the pool that's like a three-level pool where one level's the jacuzzi. It's got a little waterfall.
Very cool.
That has got a little pool area. And we go out into our kitchen, and then from that point on, I swear to God, I thought for about 3 hours that I had married the wrong woman.
It was like, it was like Mama Celeste. I mean, she was really the hostess with the mostest. She could not have been nicer. She didn't make one, you know, comment. We all just sprawled out and started watching the football game, and all she was doing was like, can I get you guys something else? Would you like to make a phone call? Do you need to do this? Bada, bada, bada. It was fantastic.
And she said at one point that we just got done with lunch. She says, are you boys hungry? She said, no, we don't need anything. She said, no. I'll make you chicken.
Right.
If you want, I'll make you chicken. And, of course, Broyhill was still hungry. Mm-hmm. So Broyhill said, me eat. So then she whipped him up some
banana chips and garlic sauce.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is apparently, a Cuban recipe?
Something like that.
And Charlie's like, you know, that's the first time he showed any appreciation or excitement about the whole thing. This is good. This is really
God.
Good food. So we are lounging in her house. She is, now keep in mind.
How long were we there? Did anybody time it? You're big on timing things. I think we were really there for 3 hours.
Almost four.
Jesus.
Wow. Nearly 4 hours at her house.
Mm-hmm.
While we are laying on her couches, she's sitting at the bar up in her kitchen.
Right.
And at one point, she says, Mike's smoking a cigarette, and Rob's eating, and Charlie Broyles eating, and I was just sitting there with a glass of water. She came over, she says, sweetie, do you want to have a cigar? And it was like, I thought, oh, my God, this is really heaven. She says, come here, I'll take you back to where, and what's his name again?
Angelo?
Angelo. And I'll take you back to Angelo's humidor.
Right, ooh. Angelo's a cigar smoker. We didn't get a chance to see Angelo.
So she opens.
Sorry, really bummed out about
yeah,
that.
Too bad. Opens up the humidor, she goes, does he have good ones in there? As I said, I got all these Cuban cigars in there. And I thought, well, you know, I'm not going to.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not going to be smoking this guy's, because my...
Yeah, he's supposed to really, he's kind of like going to arrive any minute. We expected him, yeah. He was later in the... No, I mean, it wasn't ooh. I mean, we knew that from the very beginning.
But the nightmare is that this guy's going to come in...
You're going to be sprawled out on his couch with, one of his fine Cubans.
Right.
And he's going to be, well, hi, who the hell are you?
No, I said to her, I've got my own cigars in the car.
Right.
I said, I'll come up and I can sit out on the porch and I can still see the game from out on the porch.
Not said, that he hoards them, but Don actually had 300 cigars in the car.
Not surprised. She said, no.
Squirrel.
She says, he smokes all the time in the house. Really?
Right. Yeah.
Smoke a cigar in the house. So now I'm in heaven.
You really had a look on your face. You had a little grin as she was presenting you with the first cigar, and you said, you want to take a look at another one? And then you came back and you had a real, real good one.
Yeah.
And it was terrific.
Fantastic.
Really.
And she, like I say, she could not have been nicer. Oh, and how big on the mook factor was it that at one point each of us had to call our wives just pretty much to announce that we were at Leah Remini's house.
Yep, absolutely.
And I get the Mook of the Year award because I was first.
Yep, you were first.
I said, Leah, would you mind if I use your phone?
I wanted to thank Rob about that whole deal, too. Rob, I know what you wanted to do, and I thought you honored me on that one. And you called your home first, right? It was a couple of times you talked to home, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And I called, and my wife answered. I said, I won the award because I think half a bottle of wine was gone when I did this.
And you're Mook of the Year because you put your wife on the phone.
And
with
I really, and that was also, that's something that wouldn't have happened if I wasn't in preflight. I'll be honest with you. I never in a million years would have done that unless, but it was the same thing. You know, it's the same thing when I put the head of the old company we worked at when we were at the World Series, I put the head of the company on with my father. Okay.
Right.
It was the same fact where I'm like, Leah! Leah, come on over here and say hi to my wife, will you please? And she gets on, and my wife said something along the lines of, has he gone through your drawers and stolen anything? Said, no, he's being fine. And I was really, and at that point, Rob, was at that point where you realized that what I had done is something you wanted to do,
yes.
And I know you really wanted to do it, and you really wanted to do it right after me, and I didn't say anything to you at the time, but I know you didn't do that, and I think it was a cool move that you didn't do that. Because then it would have been like three conversations in a row. I mean, it would have been two conversations in a row, and
Rob also is a mook, though, because when Rob waited 15 minutes later to call his wife,
right.
Here's Rob's play.
What did he do?
I hear Rob say, Leah, can I use the phone, too? And she goes, sure, honey, go ahead, use the phone. I hear Rob on the phone, and he goes, hi, Carrie, you're not going to believe where I am. We're at Leah Remini's house. Hold on just a second. And he goes, Leah, would you be able to get my wife two tickets for your show on Friday? Oh, you didn't hear that, Mike.
Wow. I thought I told you that.
No, you didn't.
Wow. And I was... Stop it! Don't throw anything! Don't!
That is so mooky. I thought what I did, you asked for tickets to her show?
Well, for this Friday night.
Carrie was coming out. And I didn't think.
I was very apologetic.
God.
And I asked who would be any trouble.
I know.
And did she say yes, trouble at
no,
all?
No, of course she did. She's so nice.
So yeah. You.
Well, it's either that or have my wife mad at me because she would have killed me. So.
Oh, really? All right.
So there's that.
Okay.
But she
all right.
Was very, very nice.
Here I was thinking I took the most advantage. Foolish me. Foolish me. I didn't see. See, I must have been out my own dreamland.
You were laying on the floor.
Was that when I was lying on the floor? Yes.
Laying on the floor.
All right.
So I got this bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, Leah came over and she said to me, have you noticed that Mike has had all of that wine?
That's right.
And I said, he's going to get on a plane in about 4 hours. I said, it's better he does it here, because if he didn't do it here, he would just do it at the airport.
I know, with strangers. And we don't want that to happen, do we?
So then we said, we're going to leave after the first team scores. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Dallas scores like a minute into the game. So then we said, okay, you know what?
Right.
We're going to wait until Atlanta scores.
Yeah.
The next time Atlanta scores, when they come back in the game, we're out of here. We're leaving.
That's next time Atlanta scores, and when the millennium comes.
And then before you know it, it's halftime, and it's 10 to nothing, and we still haven't left. And then, the second half started, and we still hadn't left. Mm. But to our credit, we left at the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Sure.
Sure. And then when we, you know, which gave her, I think, just enough time to clear out our stink before,
right,
like, her family came over to watch
Absolutely.
Her show, which
Absolutely.
Came on at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean, when we left, no one was there yet, and that I thought that was my goal. The worst thing would have been if we left, like, right after somebody else arrived. Then it would have been like, oh, they wouldn't leave, you know. But, I mean, at least there was that little buffer, and I felt good about the whole afternoon. I think everything worked out okay.
Oh, are you kidding? Well, listen,
of course I would have felt good about the afternoon. Even if there was, like, a 7.5 Richter scale earthquake, I would have felt good about
my
the
wife,
afternoon.
At this point, is so sick of hearing me talk about Leah this and Leah that. And here's the other great move then. So we got back to the hotel last night, and I called my wife, and I said, hey, honey, I'm back. As a matter of fact, the hotel was so close, I got back to watch the end of the football game. About midnight, I called my wife last night, East Coast time. I said, honey, here's what I want you to do. You have to go out to one of those fancy boutiques that you go to, and you have to buy a nice present for Leah.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife's half asleep. She goes,
oh, God.
She goes, what? Do you know what time it is? I said, yeah, I know. It's 9 o'clock. She says, no, it's midnight. I can't go shopping at midnight. I said, well, listen, I'm going to be sleeping in the morning, but this is very important. I have Leah's address.
Right.
Here's what I want you to do. Mm-hmm. Go out tomorrow. Don't be cheap. Buy something nice. Then I want you to go buy a card and write inside the card, thanks for your hospitality from Don and Mike. Then I want you to go FedEx it to her to make sure that she has it right away. And Frida said, well, call me in the morning with
right.
all this. And I
right.
said, no, honey, take this stuff down now because there's a chance some air services have same-day delivery.
You're still a little excited.
Yeah, I said, if you got up like at 6 a.m.
Right.
and knew what you wanted,
right.
you could probably call the store, and they have certain services. If it leaves D.C. or New York at 9 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
it can be on a plane and it'd be delivered in Los Angeles 5 hours later.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
that's reasonable.
She said, well, why don't you just call me in the morning? I said, okay, what are you going to buy her? You've got to buy her something nice, though.
Something nice for her home.
You got to buy her
You started that when we were actually at her house. You know, we Don and I were both starting to, you know, the deal of what we're going to get because we feel indebted to, you know. And
sure.
And you were immediately putting it on your way.
That's good. Better to err on the side of sending something that costs way too much than mm-hmm. something that was, you know, cheap from, you know, like People's Drug or something.
Excellent.
So, Leah, there's a chance that Leah might even have that gift now.
Very nice.
As we speak.
Very
now.
Exciting.
So, but my wife is very sick of hearing about it.
I'm sure.
And then last night, I guess I called her again close to 1 o'clock in the morning
mm-hmm.
just to ask her if she had seen the episode last night.
Oh, my God.
And she said, will you stop calling me about this Leah Remini?
Mm-hmm.
I said, did you see it? I thought it was funny. I said, and I called her back. I said, do you know, we had our picture taken again because we're going to go back on the refrigerator. She says, okay, listen, I have to get up in 5 hours to take your son to school.
Yeah.
Please don't call me again about your friend Leah Remini.
Oddly enough, my wife did some evening grocery shopping and was not able to see the episode either. I think we ought to both be aware of that situation, perhaps.
Yeah.
I think we're googling and cooing a little bit.
Maybe too a bit much, too maybe. Much.
Oh, she was very nice. Listen,
very hospitable. We knew what the deal was.
My wife gave me the ultimate put-down today.
Mm-hmm.
When I got back into town, I had enough time to go home when the plane landed, take a shower, and come in. I walked in there and said, hi, honey. She says, oh, here's my husband, Steve Buckhantz.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Stalker Buckhantz.
Because our friend Steve Buckhantz is a real stalker. He's the guy that waited 9 hours one time just to meet Sandra Bullock.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
Just stood in a corner for 9 hours to meet her.
What movie premiere did he go see four times?
Patch Adams.
Patch Adams saw the premiere in New York, Washington, and I think two out in California.
All right.
Took his camera. Amazing.
Because he got to hang around with Robin Williams. And
right.
we goofed on him, and I was like getting real defensive with Frida. Mm-hmm. I said, well, honey, there's a total difference between waiting in line to meet someone and actually going to their house. I said,
right.
honey, I went to the bathroom in her bathroom.
Freeze, did you go number one or number two? I said, oh, please.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Number one. I would never go number two in her house.
I not only went number one, but I actually, you know, I actually got down on my knees and actually did a complete cleaning. You know, I wanted to make sure there was absolutely no splatter
factor.
Yeah,
as did I.
Absolutely.
That's good. As did I.
A clean, thorough wipe with the toilet paper around the entire rim.
So it was just great.
Oh, it was fantastic.
I mean, we're such mooks.
We are mooks, and we you know,
and
it's nice to, you know, it was like, at one point I said, when we before we got into our whole Mommy Dearest thing, because she liked the movie Mommy Dearest,
oh,
too.
Oh, good.
And we did a whole thing where I said.
And she liked Fargo, too. We got a whole Fargo riff with her, too.
There's a line out of the movie Mommy Dearest where Steve Forrest says to Joan Crawford, Sunday afternoon at home with a star. That's what I said to it. That's what it was. TV star. Very fun.
Great. So last night, we're leaving our house, and we're driving away, and we're all giddy and stuff, right? And then at one point, we stopped at a stoplight, and I just turned and said to Mike, but to everybody in general, I said, what the hell do you think she thinks? What?
I'd love to know.
I can't figure, why'd she invite us to her house? I mean, it's entirely possible that she likes us and that she's very nice.
There are several possibilities. I think the one that is the most distant is that she was doing this for like PR value. I mean, I think she knows that, you know, we can talk about the show and we can get a good street buzz going on the show. But that's all in the past. If you do that, you go to the lunch and then you say, hey, thank you very much. And if you know, she jumped in the rental car, hung out with us. She knew us well enough to know that she'd have a good time. And I believe she did. Where I think we may have just gone just a little bit too far was the football factor. Because we made conversation, we made nice, but it wasn't as though, but that might have been good too because we weren't monopolizing her with conversation. But she, I guarantee you, you know, the football factor, it was beyond boredom.
A lot of times we would actually be talking to Leah. Mm-hmm. She'd be talking like about her anxiety about the show being on in a few hours.
Right.
And everybody would be listening to her, and all of a sudden you'd hear, whoa, did you see that catch?
I know.
That guy was out of bounds.
I know. It's ridiculous. But it was great. I think it left well, too. I think we certainly indicated to her that we felt good about everything that had happened.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I don't think we overdid it.
She's the nicest celebrity we've ever met.
Sure.
She
obviously is nice, and she has a lot of moxie, and I think she admires the moxie of you two, and also I think she truly, truly believes, because of the response she's gotten on her website, that this show has done a lot toward the success of King of Queens.
Well, I tell you, it was really a pleasure, and no matter how she feels, we had a fantastic time.
Well, they had a 9.6 rating and a 15 share last night.
But who's counting?
And you know, we have always
well
said,
we are, and that's the other thing, she gave me the number to get the ratings.
So now
whenever we have a question about television ratings buzz,
wonderful,
there's a number that celebrities call at 9 o'clock in the morning,
right,
when they get ratings for all the shows.
And you know, I know people might be thinking, hey, you guys talk to all these different people from these different TV shows, you had lots of different people, you know, you're on in all these cities. You have to remember one thing. We always will believe, and firmly believe, we are one step above circus clowns on the showbiz ladder. We consider ourselves at the bottom of the barrel on the showbiz ladder. So when a Hollywood television star invites us to her home for an afternoon of watching football, we're excited about it,
right.
Of course.
Sure. It was great.
It was terrific.
And she was having her period. You know.
And it didn't matter.
She's a big back scratcher, too.
Yes, she is.
Her back or other
people's? Other people's back.
Oh,
yeah.
She's a toucher. She likes to
scratch your back.
She does that, I believe, firmly. You know, also, she does that to anybody. And, you know, girlfriends.
Oh, she was doing it to the waiter.
Yeah. She's a toucher.
She was.
Yeah, she's a toucher.
Oh, and what about when...
But what she doesn't understand is any time you touch one of us, really, any of us, we react like this. As soon as the hand touches the arm...
Oh, yeah.
What about we're at the restaurant, and she introduced us to this moose who used to be married to Dudley Moore?
Right, who's a decorator or something
like that. This absolute beast of a woman. I mean, see, they look like that Dame Edna, you know, that guy that dresses up like a woman. One of those deals comes up to the table and goes,
right.
Hello, Leah, how are you?
Big hug, and of course, and you've been the decorator. You know why that was that big hug?
Yeah.
Money.
Right.
Absolutely.
And then Leah showed us some of the stuff that this decorator did in her house.
That's right, dude. That's true decorator stuff.
Right.
Let me put this here. It'll look better.
Yeah, and she's not totally happy with everything the decorator
and rightly
had,
so,
had done
believe.
In her house.
Absolutely.
Correct.
Good.
That's right.
Very cool. We did get the whole tour. Every bathroom, every workout room, and just very, very cool. Weren't you expecting, after our Van Patten experience, when the house did not
meet our expectations.
Weren't you expecting it to be much less of a house for a second-year TV star?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. She's
absolutely.
Doing real well, and she did well with it.
And I was amazed at one point during a timeout in the football game, which is the only time I talked to her, I said, hey, do you mind telling me how much you pay for your house? She told me.
Uh-huh. Yep.
She says, do you think I overpaid? I said, I think... You got a hell of a bargain.
I think she got a hell of a bargain, too.
I didn't keep it a secret. I played The Price is Right. I said, hey, everybody.
Right.
Leah just told me how much her house costs. Mike, how much do you think?
Yeah, and I said $5 million or something like that. I was a little high.
You were, yes, so to speak.
Yes.
Yeah, we all overbid.
Right.
And then that's when I started hearing, boy, I really hope the ratings are good, because if the ratings aren't good, I'm not going to be able to afford this house.
You know, it was a real come down when I got in this morning early, and I was, of course, one of the first things I want to do when I get back home is to go out to one of my favorite stores, and I go into Target, and I just know I'm home. You know,
yeah,
I know,
welcome
and
home.
I look, and over in the corner is this little kiosk, this little cardboard kiosk with the CBS lineup on it.
Yeah,
spinning around, and I look over it, and I just felt very sad for a moment. You know, I said, okay, back to normal.
Right.
Back to normal. Where are the 100% cotton Cherokee T-shirts? Time, because I had a stain on my other shirt.
Right. And now listen, I know we have to do a commercial set. We're going to call Leah here in a couple of minutes on the set of King of Queens.
Good.
To congratulate her on the great ratings, as we told her that we would, and to find out if she received the gift. And, well, you know what, frankly, I don't think we should ask her permission to talk about Jerry Stiller. I think we should just talk about Jerry Stiller's condition and just keep it a secret from Leah that we've talked about it.
Well, I know no matter what I say, you're going to do it anyway. If we asked her, it would be honoring her. I don't know whether she never did come out and say, don't talk about that. And I think we ought to ask.
Do you think she would rather?
I think she gets enough feedback on the show that it would get back to her no matter what we did.
Do you think she would rather that I tell the story about what Ann Mara, his wife, did when she originally met Leah Remini?
I think perhaps we talk to Leah first and after that.
We heard,
she was so darn nice to us.
We heard some stuff.
Right.
We heard some stuff.
Just ask, say, hey, can we tell this story?
I'm sure we can talk about how they fight in the script room.
Sure. To keep the show real.
That Kevin thinks that they're making Jerry Stiller's character too retarded.
Too nuts.
And that if you really...
And then we came up with the idea of maybe having a plot line where he was institutionalized.
She said, really, if you really had a father or a father-in-law who was that nutty, you would really have him put in a...
You'd have him put away, and I said, that's a fantastic idea. Write a script around that.
Great plot line, Leah.
Great plot line.
All right, well, just let me say this about Jerry Stiller.
Uh-huh.
The fist.
There you go.
That's all I'll say.
Yeah, and just ask her, can we talk about
the fist?
We haven't said anything except that. Can we talk about the fist?
It's nothing sexual.
Nothing sexual.
I know that's what you were thinking, Sissy.
Right. I'm glad to hear that.
It is
absolutely
nothing sexual. And did you see the Raymond show last night?
Oh, funny. Big time funny.
Those fake boobs on that Raymond.
Amazing
wife.
What a couple of tube socks can do. You know what I mean?
Jesus. Jesus.
She was right. She told us that, and she said, the show was going to be about breasts.
Yeah.
And it sure enough was.
She was cute in real life, too.
I bet.
But she did not ask us to her house.
No.
She is dead to us.
No, every celebrity outside of Leah, it was, it was the nice amount of... Who would be, of all the people we talked to on that show, who would be the least likely, under any circumstances, to invite us to their home?
Pecker.
I couldn't agree with you more, Ted.
Ted Danson.
Yes. Right. There just was no way. No way.
Yeah, no.
We have any kind of good time.
Are you kidding? You think we'd be able to take our shoes off and watch football at Ted Danson's house?
No way.
With him and his uptight Clinton-loving wife?
That surprises me. Listening to that segment on the air, it sounded like he enjoyed your humor and that you guys were relaxed and got along well.
Oh, no, I thought the segment went well.
Right.
Yeah, but...
But I didn't get that vibe listening to the segment. No, but we did. Looking at
okay,
him.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
look
you
at
had
those
to be
eyes.
There.
Eyes that say, okay, are you done with this now? Mud. Mud boys, are you done?
We will be back in just a moment.
This is the Don Thing. They're ready to believe you. Pretty men. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
We have a Vegas-style show, tomorrow night. Robbie, hold on. While I'm doing this plug...
Go get Jeremy's cousins.
Hallelujah.
Jeremy Coleman has some relatives in the station today visiting from Britain.
I have some cousins. We just met them.
Cool. I'd love to interview them. Find out if they know what a gerbil Jeremy is.
Absolutely. And if
Jeremy, well, I'm sure they do.
And if Jeremy says some bad things about us.
Vegas-style show tomorrow night in Baltimore. We will be at Pedonia Station with the return of the Las Vegas-style show. And I mean return with a vengeance.
It's going to be a big one at Pedonia Station in Baltimore.
Now listen to this lineup with no intervention from those bastards at the Virginia ABC board.
Yeah.
Right. Tomorrow night, topless girls getting painted and peeled with liquid latex. Our friend Guy Birdley will help out there.
Hi.
Also, Homo Joe and the Homo Joe Challenge along with video. Hello, Jeremy.
My cousins would prefer not to be on the radio.
Oh, come on. Hold on, let me get on my plug here. Hold on a second. Homo Joe video of the beach house, including Dennis Murphy snoring,
big.
The Monica Lewinsky cigar contest, the world-famous underwear fashion show.
It's going to be big.
And since the feds shut us down last month, we're going to make sure the tomorrow night show
right.
is bigger and better and raunchier than ever.
You're going to love it. Another Las Vegas-style show, Pedonia Station. We want to see you there.
That's in Baltimore tomorrow night. We hit the stage at 9. Don't forget, you got to be 21 to get in. And, of course, it don't cost nothing. It's our way of saying thank you for listening to the show. Las Vegas-style show tomorrow night, Pedonia Station in Baltimore. Well, now, why wouldn't your cousins want to be on the number one radio show?
They are incredibly shy. Emma is very shy.
We would be very, very disarming with them.
You're going to be mean to them.
Jeremy? I swear, nothing would be said to them that would offend them.
So
I give you my word.
You won't be mean to my cousin.
I promise.
Okay. All of our questions
will
to
be about
your
you.
Cousins will be about you.
Just about you.
Oh, that's a horrible idea.
Now, come on. Now, besides, your one cousin is very hot. Why would we
yes,
be rude
very,
to her?
Very pretty, very pretty girl.
Yeah. That is true.
Yeah. They're both cousins. Are they
well,
brother, are they brother and sister?
No, actually, they're husband and wife.
Oh, husband
my
and wife, okay.
Married. No, Richard, the guy, is actually related to me. Emma is his newlywed
wife. Could have counted on that. Yeah, she was way too good-looking to be related to you.
Yeah, well, bring them in. We will not offend them.
You can stay in here.
You can stand in here. If that will give them moral support
just,
if you
I'm
stand next
I'm very protective of them.
You know, here's the deal. I'll make a deal with it. You know, if there's anything you feel is out of line, whisk them out. At the moment, at the drop of a hat, and we will understand that. There will be no fallout. You simply, we will know that we made a bargain with you where you will rapidly escort them out of the studio.
I mean, they are genuinely shy. They may really not
want. Well, come
want.
On.
Okay.
Bring them in.
Just double check.
You know how we love talking to Brits. I just
absolutely.
Check their teeth.
Their teeth look good.
I just want to check their teeth, ask them about the whole thing with having a queen mom.
Uh-huh.
You know, ask them if they're over Lady Di yet. And then, you know, ask them the usual stuff, like if Jeremy ever wore a dress when he was a kid.
That's right. And if Jeremy talks badly about us. Or,
yes,
God forbid, speaks highly of us.
Or if he ever mentions our name at all.
Right, if our names are ever mentioned. All right.
And here we come now.
All right, they're coming in.
Cousins
Jeremy's cousins.
Oh, no.
Emma has just, run away.
Oh, she has run away?
Yeah.
She
Emma has run away.
Now, see, I checked his teeth. He's got good teeth.
Let me see
in fact,
your
he's
teeth.
Got better teeth than many people on our staff. See those teeth?
Those
see. Those are good British teeth.
Those are a very American teeth. Congratulations. What's your name, sir?
Richard.
And Richard, you're Jeremy's cousin?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, very good.
Have a seat, Richard. We'd like to talk to you for a minute.
Here, let me get
Jeremy.
You set up with a microphone. Here. Have a seat. Relax. It's our ratty little chair there. All right.
Let me see if Emma wants to come in.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't know where she is. She went off.
Robbie, go find Emma.
I will.
See if Emma wants to come in.
Absolutely.
Richard, how long are you going to be here?
About 3 months.
How has your cousin Jeremy described his position here at the radio station? As far as you know, what is your cousin's job here?
Oh, I don't want to get him in trouble.
You will not get him in any trouble whatsoever.
Just
no.
Tell us.
Has he said he runs the whole thing?
He didn't say much, because he basically made he had no idea.
He had no idea what he does here?
Yeah,
neither do we.
Well, that's the first answer is an accurate one, I believe. He has no idea what he does here.
Come on, really. When
no, that's really true.
That is. So what do you think your cousin does here?
Well, he sat upstairs earlier and talked to a geezer that looked like the bloke from Clerks about a show that's on another time. I can't remember. Little guy. What's his name?
Cameron.
Yeah. What was the show called?
Liddy.
Liddy Show. That was it.
Okay.
I don't know.
So he's talking about the other shows.
About the G. Gordon Liddy Show.
Yeah, that was
okay,
it.
Okay, very good. Has he ever mentioned to you what show on this station he finds the most important?
Yeah, he said it was the Sports Junkies one. He said this.
Okay, Richard.
There's some of that dry British wit.
The dry British wit. Touche. Touche, tally-ho.
Touche, American teeth and all.
Now, really, in the family, in your guys' family,
yeah.
What's the general opinion of Jeremy? You know, among aunts and uncles and cousins and...
Maybe I shouldn't be here when you...
Yeah, well...
That's you, know, why, you know, Jeremy, why don't you... Listen... Just step outside. We'll be very polite with your cousin.
All right, very good. Yeah, that'll make things a little more honest and open.
A little more comfortable here.
I know that.
Because I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. Your cousin is just a pain in the ass. He is. I'll tell you that he is the biggest overreactor. When there is the slightest problem, he is the first guy to throw up the white flag and say, we surrender. You know what I'm talking about? We do a radio show that's on the edge, where we come up to a line, and occasionally we step over that line.
That's right.
But that's why our listeners listen to us.
Your cousin is constantly putting barbed wire on that line.
Yeah, your cousin
has this thing, huh?
Your cousin has an override button upstairs, meaning that if we do something on the show that he doesn't think is right, he can push a button, and he can erase it from ever happening on the radio.
Well, that was the other thing he said was his job, was just to keep tabs on you guys.
Uh-huh. Right. He's accurate about that.
Make sure your show was funny.
So how's he perceived in the family? Is he popular in the family, unpopular?
He's kind of popular, I guess. Well, he's popular with me because he just organized his whole holiday for me.
So. Oh, really? Uh-huh. So he arranged your trip over to the States.
But with the other members of the family, if we were to talk about Jeremy, what would we be saying? We'd be saying that Jeremy's a great guy, or do we say that Jeremy's a little worm?
Well, he's a great guy, I guess, but we don't really talk to him because he's in America.
Okay, so you don't have a lot of content.
We sent him off here and left him, you know?
But I mean, when you talk about him, on the occasions when you talk about him.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a case of him lying to you, any members of the family? Because I'll tell you that, he lies to us all the time. He constantly lies to us.
He's been pretty straightforward, with you.
Yeah, this is bad. I've only ever spoken to him about 10 times.
Okay.
What did he say?
He hasn't had a lot of contact with him.
I found out I needed to go to America, so I got this number from somewhere.
So you used him to get to America, basically, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. That's cool. That's
when Jeremy was a small child, did he wear those hard shoes with big buckles and knee socks and the big Buster Brown hat?
He's about 600 years older than me. I don't remember him being
when he was a young
child.
Boy, did he ever dress up as the Queen Mum?
Oh, we all do that.
We all do that.
And that whole thing with you guys, that whole Queen thing?
Yeah, that's our national dress, man. We wear the... Yeah.
You guys know, and I'm speaking now of all Brits, you know that's a bunch of crap, that whole thing with having a queen. Because she really, she can't do dick.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, she has no power.
No, yeah, of course.
You know what I mean. So it's just a joke, really.
It's a tourist attraction.
Right, okay, oh, you're good. Yeah. You're
but, you know, that's not cool. The first Brit we've spoken to that has that perspective on the queen.
You're very un-Coleman-like, and I mean that as a compliment, sir.
Do you think there's a chance, you know, I already feel like there's a relationship here, a good relationship. Is there a chance maybe you could... Send Jeremy over there for 3 months also, and you could take on his duties here at the radio station?
He certainly has a nicer house than me. I'll come back here.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Nice
car. You know, two of the reasons he has that house, that wonderful
You're looking
home.
At them right
looking at him right here, absolutely.
And your wife is very, very hot.
Thank you.
Where did you meet her?
I met her at college.
Oh, really? At university?
Yeah, at university.
Is that how you would say it over there?
University. Yeah, school.
I guess they say college over in Britain, too?
Yeah.
Met her at college? Or?
How long have you guys been in America?
About about 2 hours.
Oh, so you just got here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you're on one of the most... Week? You realize that you're just 2 hours off the plane, and you're on one of the most successful radio shows in America right here.
In America.
Yes. In America, yes, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Are you looking forward to having sex with your wife in the greatest country in the free world?
Yeah.
Yeah, good man.
Sure, I like this guy.
Let me ask you another question. You don't have sex with her in the bad place, do you? You know what I mean. You know,
while she's awake.
She's awake. You know, you're all right.
You're
okay, man.
For a Coleman, you're okay.
You're really doing all right on this show. You can go back and tell your countrymen it was an amazing success.
How long are you going to be staying with Jeremy?
Oh, we're here till Sunday, I guess.
Sunday.
All right. Make sure that he takes you out a lot and spends a tremendous amount of money on you. I think he owes that to you. I mean, you haven't seen a lot of him, so, you know, make sure, really, just suck all the money out of him you can, okay?
Okay.
All right, very good.
But you only get, like, 10 days holiday, so he has to come to work.
Yeah, he has to come to work, but make sure that the home is stocked with plenty of food, eat whatever you want, and every evening when he gets home, make sure that he takes you out to expensive restaurants.
And whatever you do, have sex with your wife all over Jeremy's house.
Oh, we will.
I mean, have sex with your wife in Jeremy's kitchen, in his bathroom, in his television room, everywhere. Leave your DNA everywhere if you.
And then the last
catch
day,
my drift.
The day you're leaving, and you're not coming back through here again, right? You're leaving in an.
Oh, no, we're coming back at Christmas. So
okay. Well, if you come back whenever the last time before you go back to the UK, the last thing you want to do is have sex like somewhere outside of his house so the neighbors can see it. You know, that's really what you want to do. Make that be your last calling card for Jeremy. You know, so the neighbor, he'll get the fallout from the neighbors.
His mom's house.
Yeah.
Did he get beat up a lot when he was a kid? I'm guessing he had to, right? Jeremy?
I don't know.
Have you heard any stories about that?
I haven't. I was waiting to hear them, so I was kind of...
Oh, really? Yeah. All right. Well, ask him maybe tonight at dinner at the expensive restaurant. You can say, Jeremy, could you tell me the story that Don and Mike started about the time you got beat up every day on the way home from school? It's just a theory we have. We don't know it factually.
When you're wearing your knee socks.
Your knee socks and your Buster Brown, you know, your Buster Brown little short pants. And your oversized bow tie. And your straw hat.
And your ruffly shirt.
Your round straw hat. That's what we always picture.
Big hard shoes with belt with big buckles on them. Pilgrim shoes.
That's the little picture we paint of young Jeremy. Absolutely.
Really?
And wooden shoes, even though they weren't appropriate for it. We just picture him wearing wooden shoes.
And whatever you do.
Relevant.
Whatever you do, take him to the mall and get him to buy a goddamn red shirt.
Right.
Please. Or a yellow shirt.
He wears black all the time.
Or a blue shirt.
It's like working with the skinny version of Johnny Cash.
Yeah. It's awful. And he makes a good salary here, yet he dresses like he's homeless from Salvation Army.
Yeah, get him to spend some money on his clothes. He really needs to. Absolutely.
But I'm telling you, count your money at night. Count your money at night, because he's not to be trusted.
Absolutely.
I mean that. Don't be surprised to wake up one morning and say to your wife, love, are we down 20? And you know what you'll think? You'll think that you went to an American restaurant or something and you lost count when you were changing the money over.
Oh, look. No, it is. It's like Jeremy's. He's reached into my bloody wallet and he took out 40 quid. My God. I said, hey, that bastard. He's taking every nickel I had. We ain't going to be able to go to California, Jeremy.
Well, generally, your cousin is the most, I don't want to say the most hated person in this
building. No, there's one man more hated than he is.
However, he is the person who garners the least respect of anyone that works here.
And we know that if we weren't successful, if we really had problems with ratings, the first person who would cut our throats is your cousin.
Would be your cousin.
He told me you were his bitches.
We tell you, he wishes we were his bitches.
Oh, that is great.
All right, nice meeting you,
Richard,
sir.
It was a pleasure. You did great on the Donna Mike show.
Bravo.
Fantastic. Very See, Jeremy, he wasn't so shy.
Hard to believe he's a Coleman.
He was terrific.
Now, where's your wife? Bring your wife in here. Let me introduce her to our audience.
Has she declined, Rob?
She was actually nowhere to be found, and Jeremy doesn't even know where she is. And Richard maintains he doesn't know where she is.
Hiding in the stairwell.
Too bad. She's
for
hot.
The record, I would like to say that went really badly.
All right, get out. Oh, yeah, hey, hold on a second. I want to ask him what he thinks about your hair.
Yeah.
I forgot to ask your cousin about your new hair.
Yeah, just tell him to duck in and give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down on Jeremy's hair. Very good.
New coffee cake hair.
All right.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. He likes the hair?
Really?
Well, okay, well, yeah.
Well, you know, but Jeremy's cousin has that soccer thug look, so
absolutely.
What's he know about fashion?
Absolutely.
Looks like he's ready to break a bottle open and cut some guy's throat just because Uruguay scored a goal.
He's taking all my clothes. I only got what I got on my back because they took my clothes.
All right, well, always interesting to delve into the Coleman family tree.
Yeah, the Coleman family tree, which, you know, bigger branches when you get away from Jeremy, which is odd.
We will be back. More show coming right up.
This may cause loose stools and fecal urgency. The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
Hold on, let me see. I have my wife on the line here. Hi, honey.
Hi, Boo.
Here's my wife, Leah. I mean, Frida.
Oh,
Stop that.
Hey, what'd you get her? We're about to call her, and we don't know if she got the gift. I know you got her a bowl.
Yeah, it's a beautiful handmade Italian bowl.
An Italian bowl?
Italian, that's good. They make fancy bowls.
Oh, yeah. It's fancy. You know, I felt like I was buying a present for your mistress when I was out, but
I wish
didn't
you were.
Mind because then I bought a present for myself, too.
There you go. The price we pay.
Yeah, right.
I wish you was my mistress.
You know, you're pretty brazen with me. And then you go into your little cave by yourself and practically bar the door to watch your show. God knows what's going on in there.
Honey, listen, love youth, and thank you very much. Last question I had was, on the card?
Yeah?
What did the card say and what did you write down?
I said something like, please, can we try again? I'll last longer next time.
Oh, no, come on, really. Come on, really. What did you write?
Thanks for your hospitality, whore. Don. Except the bad word. That's what I wrote.
All right, well, that was wonderful, and thank you, honey.
All right, you're welcome.
Okay,
sweetie.
I love you.
I love you, too, and I think fondly of our marriage.
So do I.
Okay, good. Bye, sweetheart.
I love you.
I love you, too.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
It's good to keep her on her toes.
Absolutely. And she took care of business for you.
Yes, she did.
Absolutely.
It was fantastic, and I thank her for that. Let's call now and get the ratings for King of Queens.
Very good.
And then we're going to call Leo.
Okay.
Oh, and don't forget, we still have the tapes of the lame celebrities from yesterday.
Right.
Who we didn't talk to, but during the commercials, it was the Rob Spiewak and Charlie Broyhill show.
Absolutely.
All right.
Charlie Broyhill, ask any questions, Rob?
Park Overall, who I know you're sorry you didn't get a chance to meet with, had a strange fixation for Charlie.
Your menu options have changed. At any time during this recording, press 0 to return to the main menu. To hear ratings for Monday, press 1. Please wait.
And he was very uptight about the ratings.
Good afternoon.
Show.
Following your nationals for Monday, September 20th, in the order of NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, Paramount, and Warner Brothers. 8 o'clock, Suddenly Susan, season premiere, adult 18 to 49 rating, 3.9. King of Queens, season premiere, 5.0. 2020, 3.2.
Wow.
That 70 Show, special, 2.7. Moesha, 1.2. Seventh Heaven, season premiere, 2.8.
2:30. That's a victory for King of Queens.
Season premiere.
Of course, that's just one demographic, though.
Series premiere, 5.2.
That's the one the advertisers care about, so that's the one the networks care about.
That 70 Show, special, 3.1. The Parkers, 1.4. Seventh Heaven, 2.9. 9 o'clock, Law & Order, Special Victims Unit, series premiere, 5.1. Everybody Loves Raymond, 6.9. Monday Night Pre-Kick from 9 to 9.07, 7.4. Monday Night Football, Atlanta at Dallas from 9:07 to 9:30, 8.9. Ally McBeal, 3.5. Grown Ups, 1.6. Safe Harbor, series premiere, 1.8. 9:30. Law and Order, Special Victims Unit, 5.0.
All right, that gets boring now.
Right.
All right, well, hey, it won the time slot. That's what counts.
Clearly. Isn't that funny that the celebrities like Leah would have that number? Because I asked her yesterday.
Pretty cool. Immediate access to, like, the morning after.
So how do you find the ratings out? She said, I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning because it's 9 o'clock in New York when they're released. And I call this phone number.
Mm-hmm. Very, very cool.
All right, well, let's call her now and not only get some feedback from our visit, see if the gift that my wife was nice enough to ship out same-day service arrived.
Right.
Also find out if we can talk about the fist.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good.
Jerry Stiller.
Calling the set of CBS's The King of Queens. The Queen of Queens, I almost said.
Well, she is the Queen of the King of Queens.
She is the Queen of the King of Queens.
Sure is. My third wife, Leah Remini.
Who would be your second wife?
Frida.
Okay, I understand now. Talking in order of wives, right?
Right.
Not current wives.
28.
Yeah, hi, Leah, please.
I believe she's gone for the day.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, we got out of here pretty early today.
Mm. All right. Well, what time did y'all get out?
We left here, she probably didn't get out of here close to... Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
We do have our home number, don't we?
Charlie does, I'm sure.
Oh, and I bet I have it, too, because I asked Frieda to write it down last night on the caller ID. When I called our house.
Right.
When I called our house for her house.
Was that really the main reason you called home, so you could get the number on caller ID?
A little part of me was thinking that way, Buzz. But also, there was the mook factor.
Yeah.
That, you know, I mean, we're there, and it was like, ordinarily in that situation, the first person I would call if I was at a famous person's house was Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
But
right.
Mike was already sitting there with me.
He was there.
And then I called Broyhill. Well, no, Broyhill was there. Rob was there.
Right.
And I'm just working down my progressions.
Pretty cool. And the reason I called home, this is just a little lip. Basically.
Hi, honey. Matt, I'm of a star. I'm a star. The top floor is cool against my cheek.
Mike was actually lying on the floor.
Against my cheek, it's cool.
Now, I don't know which
one.
Hey, Leah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's Don and Mike.
Hi, Leah.
Hi.
Hey, big winner. Hey,
let's
big
give
ratings
a round of
winner.
Applause.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Hey, big ratings winner. 9.6 rating, 15 share.
Yeah, but then I think the show after us.
Yes.
This is what Kevin tells me. So I come in like all good mood today.
Right.
And he goes, yeah, but the show after us went up from us. That's not good.
No.
For the network, it's good for the show.
No, we just heard the 18 to 49s.
Was good.
Yeah, you got a bigger rating than that stupid show that's on after.
And I think winning your time slot is winning your time slot. No matter what the show before you or after you does, winning your time slot is very important.
Okay, and then here's my second thought.
Okay.
I told you.
Maybe people thought another show was on in that slot.
Mm-hmm. See how paranoid it is she was?
I know. No, the show is a smash. It's a hit. You did
okay,
well.
Let's see what happens next week.
Right. We will. It was a great episode last night, Leah. A great episode.
And this more than anything else is a thank you call to you. We wanted to thank you for your hospitality.
Have you gone to your mother's to get our gift yet?
Why, did you send it already?
Yes.
Didn't tell me I got anything.
Ask your mom.
I will.
Call your mom right now and ask her if you received it overnight.
I'm going to meet her right now, so maybe she'll have something for me.
She should have something.
But thank you in advance for whatever it is you got me.
From an overnight service. And then you know, I'd like to talk to you later this week to find out if you like it. Because
I will.
Immediately when we left your house, I called my wife and told her to go buy you something nice.
You did?
Yes.
we were very, very flattered and thrilled that you were so
you
nice.
You guys
to
are
us.
So sweet.
Now, let me ask you a serious question.
Oh, by the way, Axel came home.
Yeah.
And he goes, who's been here, honey?
How long did we overstay our welcome?
You really didn't. No, he sniffed out the cigars. He smelled the cigars. But you really didn't. I wanted you guys to stay longer.
No,
really?
No, come on.
I swear to God, how many times did I say you don't have to go, and then I busted you because you guys did want to go to your hotel room and rest?
No. What did I tell you?
Everybody else
wanted to go except me.
You know, I just felt that, you know, we had certainly stayed long enough.
You did.
I did. I didn't want to overstay the welcome.
But you didn't. I would say, guys, you know what? I'm tired. You know what I mean? It's been a long day.
Yeah.
Okay, I probably wouldn't have said that, but I would have been like, ooh, wow, what time is it? Oh, my God. You know?
All right, so officially on the record, and you could tell us now, because frankly, right now, you could crap on us, and it wouldn't matter. You've already exceeded all expectations.
Absolutely.
Did you talk about me at all today, saying how nice it was?
Oh, my God. We did an hour. The opening hour of the show was
talking about
you.
Really?
2 hours.
Our listeners are probably so sick of hearing about you.
I know.
All we've done is talk about you.
Absolutely.
Talk about how nice you are. Showed us your whole house.
And our wives are sick of us talking about
they
you.
They are?
Oh,
yes.
Oh, my God. My wife.
Sure.
My wife said that we just had her on the phone. I said, did you get a nice gift for Leah? She said, for your mistress? Yes. I got her a wonderful gift. But Leah, you are one sweet, sweet girl for letting us come in your house.
Who bought me lunch?
Oh, well, we did.
See?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Okay, well, you know, it was the least that Don could do, and Don bought you lunch.
And I don't want to blow your whole chachi you got going there, but I got to tell you guys are really sweet. You really are sweet, sweet men, all of you.
Oh. You are, you know, we are still scratching our heads,
mm-hmm.
thinking, why'd she ask us over to her house? I mean, you understand, we're not complaining, we think it's great.
See, we just don't ever think that anyone...
You know what I'm thinking? Right. I think you guys, I mean, honestly, I think you guys think too much of like TV people. I just think in general, people don't think we're just normal people.
Yes, right. That's true.
That's true.
You're right.
We are just normal people. I mean, get me wrong. I think
that's right.
Jerks out there, but I just think on the average, like, they're normal. We're normal people. We have homes. We clean our houses.
Well, yes, and you know what? I mean, we didn't get into all the boring details, but we saw Leah, like, clean her kitchen yesterday.
Absolutely.
And,
be the hostess with the mostest.
I made you coffee, Don.
Yeah, and it was... What did I tell you? Great coffee.
Yeah, I know. I think you're a lion because you did a little like oomph when you tasted it.
Was it a little strong, Leah?
I know.
I know, and I like
for you that you didn't want to tell me it sucked.
No, it didn't suck. If it had sucked, I would have just like poured it down the sink when you were out of the room.
And yeah, Leah,
honestly, I think you're too nice for that. I mean, really, the side that I saw you guys this trip. I mean, I just think you're just super sweet guys.
Well, that's nice. I'm sorry I drank all the wine.
And laid on the floor.
And laid on your floor.
You were so funny because your eyes were crossing. It was funny to watch you.
Do you remember what she said to you when we were walking out?
Focus.
She said, focus, get your bearings now. Focus.
Focus.
Because you were looking up at me saying goodbye.
I know.
You weren't looking at me. I don't know where the hell you were looking.
My eyes wandered. It's my lazy eye.
So funny to see you try to focus. Funny.
Well, listen, you are just the greatest.
Thank you, sweetheart.
All we've done all day is talk about how great you are.
Absolutely.
I think the same of you guys.
And your ratings, as predicted, got such a severe case of having no confidence. Your ratings were fantastic.
Well, let's see what happens next week.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're rooting for you now, all the way up to the Emmys. You know, we're going to root for you.
Thank you.
I hope you know that. No, you have no bigger fans than us. We're pulling for you.
Dallas, you have terrific. A 9.6 and a 15 share.
That's pretty good.
Yes.
Do you understand that, though?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I really don't.
Suddenly Susan canceled. By these ratings, I mean, they had a 6.7 and a 10 share.
Wow.
So look at that. Look how great you did against that show.
Here, here.
That's good.
And you know what else I noticed last night on the episode that I found since we spent the weekend with you? It was true to life.
What?
On that episode you guys had last night, your season opener.
Yeah.
You smoke.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about in real life, like how you smoke like a chimney. All the time.
Yeah, me. Yeah, you're right.
Me.
I know.
I can't believe when you left me one friggin' cigarette.
Well, that's Mike now.
You know what's so funny, Mike?
I quit today.
You buy me cigarettes.
I know.
Right?
I know.
Then you turn around and smoke them all.
I know I did, and I quit today, too.
Oh, bull.
I quit. I haven't had a cigarette all day. I quit today.
Start tomorrow.
I'll let you know how that's going. Right.
Yesterday I tried those all natural, you know, with the no chemicals in it.
How were they?
Vomited.
Well, listen,
you know when you think you're going to vomit, but you just think you're just going to sit at the toilet bowl and get some sympathy from people in your house? Well, I'm up there, and I'm so vomiting. I mean, like, really vomiting with oatmeal pieces coming out.
Oh.
And Angelo is sitting downstairs, and I actually saved it in the toilet bowl, so when he came up, he'd be like, oh, my God, you really did. You know what I mean? He didn't come up. So I'm just sitting there pretending that I'm still throwing up, but meanwhile having to look at it.
So how did your mom like the show last night?
Mom loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
Mom loved it, yeah. She doesn't like the way I look on the show.
I know that we were hearing that.
Yeah.
Leah said that her mom says, like, your hair looks bad or that, you know, you're not dressed right on the show.
She thinks I wear too much makeup.
TV.
Well, you've got a ton of makeup. We know that from when you brought us upstairs and showed us your bathroom.
We thought you looked great. We always think you
look
great.
Total drag queen, right?
Yeah, right.
No way.
Right. Well, listen.
So did you guys get in trouble?
For what? For
did
going
you
to
get
your...
any calls? Did you talk about that?
Talk about what?
About your time.
Oh, you mean what? With the publicist?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about it.
There's really been no fallout. I think everything's cool. We're just not going to be invited back again.
No, you're going to be invited because I'm going to make sure you're going to get invited.
Really?
No, but we've already had a conversation with someone that next year, even if CBS doesn't sanction it.
We might be coming out for our yearly thing and doing our own thing.
Hey, listen.
Good.
Hey, on that show last night, where was that new opening sequence that you told us?
I don't know. Isn't that weird?
Leah told us that she had to go to New York to film this new opening with Kevin.
And they didn't have it ready.
And here's
mother's yelling at us.
Here's more of Leah's insecurity complex. She says, we go to New York to film a new open for the show.
Right.
And people came up to her and said, oh, we love the King of Queens. And she said, oh, really? And then she said that people would say to her, who are you on the show?
Oh, here's one. I'm standing there filming. We're filming in the streets of Queens, right, in New York.
Uh-huh.
And this guy is standing behind my sister. One of my sisters was there. And this guy goes, oh, my God, she looks so much better on the show.
Oh,
and he turned around. She goes, what did you just say? And he goes, oh, that girl looks so much better on television.
Oh, God.
You have no reason to be insecure.
No way.
You won Thank your you. Time slot last night.
Thank you.
And, listen, she told she's going to be on Rosie O'Donnell's show soon.
Yeah, very exciting.
Letterman.
She's very worried about Rosie because she heard Rosie's a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Said, Letterman.
Don't worry. Mm-hmm. That, you know, Rosie's fine on the air and you're going to be on the Letterman show.
Right.
Oh, you know what? We wanted to ask you.
What? Yeah, we wanted to clear some stuff with you because, you know, we honor you, the friendship right now. What? We want to make sure it's cool to talk about certain
We wanted
things.
To know if it was
Can
all
you
right?
tell us whether it is or it isn't?
Because right. we've said nothing.
We okay. said absolute. I mean, we really have said absolutely nothing.
Is it all right?
You can't.
Do you know what we're going to ask about?
What?
The thing.
The fist.
No.
We can't?
No way.
No.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, we won't.
Okay, Mike.
You know
call.
What?
Good call, Mike, because Mike said we better ask her first.
As I'm telling you the story, and as you guys were making jokes about it.
Right.
Yeah. I was kind of laughing, but going. Oh, my God.
No, we're honor well, that.
No, okay, good. Mike, I'm, glad that, I'm glad that you said that.
Absolutely. I mean, we will honor that completely.
It is a secret.
Not until.
Not until you're ready.
No, not until let's figure it out, and then we go. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, I understand that, too.
All right. I understand that. No problem.
That makes me chuckle cruelly, but I'll tell you that. That's fine. I understand that completely.
You did already, didn't you?
No, we didn't. No. I swear to God we did. You will know. You'll find out if we were to do something like that. We wouldn't do that. I swear to God.
We said the fist, and then we just said that there was nothing sexual.
We haven't mentioned anything.
Nobody. Right, but now everybody's going to be going, what is that?
Yeah, but they have no idea what it is.
Right.
It's just a story. There.
Okay. I mean, we won't say anything about it. We won't. We promise.
Okay, not until.
No.
Okay, not until.
No. Right.
Good. Well, I'll look forward to it. Just something else we can talk about.
You let us know, too. You let us know whenever we can.
So when Kevin called you today,
yeah.
when he told you about the ratings, what's his problem? How come he's not happy?
Well, because we're worriers. You know, that's what we do. We worry and, like, why do we get to have a show that works? And,
yeah,
you know, you think of all
like
the bad
too.
Things you've done or, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, you shouldn't worry. The show's funny.
It's been nice to be. You go, why do I get to have this in my life?
Leah, you can't do better than winning your time slot.
That's
the best.
True.
That's the best you can do, and
that's
really, I think you're going to build on that. I really
I'm
do.
I'm thinking we should get a gift or something from the network.
You will.
I sent you a gift.
No, I'm saying, you know, remember we were talking about the Will and Grace people getting
right.
Though, listen, Leah was pissed about this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know that Will and Grace show about that fag?
Yeah.
And his girlfriend?
Yeah.
That just because they got nominated for Emmys,
right?
ABC bought them each Porsches,
little Porsche Boxsters.
NBC does that.
Man, we think you ought to get gifts.
Wait, who are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you talking about?
Well, Will and Grace, didn't they get it?
That's not ABC.
NBC.
NBC. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
And you know what else? You know what else Leah's unhappy about?
What?
Like when she flies to New York,
mm-hmm.
that if she wants to bring her boyfriend with her, she has to pay.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And we said, well, that's
not
just
not anymore.
That's the Mel way.
Not anymore.
Did they change that?
They changed that for me.
Oh, really?
And I didn't even bring it up.
That's cool, though.
Oh, so he gets to go with you when you go be on Letterman?
He doesn't. No. I have to bring my makeup artist.
Oh, your makeup artist.
Because I'm a drag queen.
Well, we think... You're not a drag queen.
You know why? Because one time I went to New York. You think New York, oh, wow, they have all the big stylists out there and the big, you know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I went to New York to get my makeup done. I go, well, come on. There's other makeup artists, you know? I show up. The girl didn't even have makeup sponges. I was like, okay.
No makeup sponges.
Oh, really?
Okay. Let me go back on that. She had one, but it was like she rinsed it out.
What's a makeup
sponge?
Now,
if you know makeup, I mean, you could get 10 pounds of makeup sponges for 99 cents.
We actually get made up before this show.
Do ya?
Yeah, for full foundation and rouge and all that.
Leah, let me ask you one more question about something, if we could talk about it or not.
Okay.
Can we talk about when you met Ann Mara?
Oh, how can you say that? You can't talk about that.
All right.
Okay.
No, we honor
listen,
that.
We're just why we asked.
We have
no,
the...
but go ahead. But I want.
Well, no. I couldn't. I couldn't use the language you used.
But that's the whole part.
That's the thing that makes it funny.
All right.
Really.
Well, listen. Someday we have a bunch of great stories.
We will wait to get the blessing of Ms. Remini to tell the stories.
Oh, I want you to tell the stories. Just that it's not funny unless you get to use the language.
No, that's true.
Absolutely.
Because the feel and then the wording.
Yeah, I know.
To be honest, I don't think we could ever do it justice.
Well, and certainly your language in telling the story was worse, I thought, than her language was.
Yeah,
why?
Absolutely.
You used You used a much more vulgar word to describe than she did.
I did?
You did.
Right, and we, you know, didn't you notice we all perked up when you said that?
You said that she...
Yeah.
I think there's some confusion. I think Leah's thinking of the story of Anne meeting the network type.
No,
we're thinking about the same story.
The
right?
story of meeting her for the first time.
Right? I'm shocked she doesn't remember what she said.
What's that?
Right.
Yeah, that's
Anne,
right.
Yeah. And you said
that you're such a...
Right.
Right.
Well, you said...
Oh,
well,
when
see,
I
now,
said grab the thing?
Yeah,
right.
The word that you used for thing...
Right.
The thing.
Right,
was what?
But no, there's no worse than that. No. I mean, you know, it's well, yeah, but it was just, you know, that
hold,
word is...
Hold
that,
on. Just, let me put you on hold for a minute
right. And
take you off the air and tell you what I think you said, and
okay.
then I'll put you back on. You
all
tell
right.
me if
all right,
it's
very
right.
Good.
Hold
all
on.
Right. Very good.
All right.
We'll just find out. We're going to, you know, just kill a minute here while Don explains the story. Just, you know, coming out of any woman's mouth, it makes everybody perk up.
Of course.
Because we believe it to be the worst word in the world.
Be quiet, because... She said, you're not on the air.
What is she saying?
Oh, all right. Hold on. Hold on.
Did we hear it wrong?
On. Yeah.
I see. I didn't really hear it 100% clearly.
We heard it.
What, we heard it
we
wrong?
We heard it backwards.
Right.
Oh, really?
We heard it. Leah used the cute word.
Right.
And Mary used...
When she was talking to the...
The bad word.
The other person, the bad word.
No, when she was talking to me.
When Leah,
okay.
when she...
Right.
Leah said,
right.
When Leah
described... This was when he was on his, third glass of wine, I think?
I'm sorry, I was drifting away.
When Leah...
I was in pre-flight,
Leah used the cute word.
Right.
And Gary Stiller's wife used the awful word.
The word that makes, you know...
Right,
men,
not
men
in a bad
cringe.
Way, because I actually thought, she made me laugh.
Yeah, you thought she was cool.
I'm not offended by that.
I think that was pretty cool.
Coming
really?
From a woman.
Well, you'd be the first woman I met who's not offended by that.
We're applauding. We're applauding.
Listen, my mother called me that. My mother started using that word when I was 10.
Wow.
So anytime any woman's called me that, I'm like, oh, how cute is that?
That's right. And your mom's your best friend, right?
My mom is my best friend.
There you go.
I was like, oh, what a term of
endearment. Oh, my God.
You know? It doesn't bother me.
You're a piece of work. You
it
really are.
It does not bother me.
Well, listen, go see your mother now.
Yeah, she called on the other line and she's screaming at Angelo.
Why? Really? Why is she screaming at him?
Sitting in a restaurant waiting for me to go.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, then
all right, go.
Go, listen, call us this week sometime when you get the present.
Okay.
That's all. Okay.
I adore you guys.
Thank you for letting us come to your home.
That is 100% mutual,
Thank
Leah.
Thank you, baby.
Love right. you. Thank
okay,
you.
Bye.
Thank
you guys.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Well,
she's a riot.
See? See?
She's a riot.
See why we like her so much?
I mean,
sure.
You heard that at the end. I don't care. I mean, it's still, it's just difficult for us to, I think she's right. I think we do, you know, anybody that's in that business, in that TV business, we kind of, we find it difficult to believe they want to, you know, slum with us.
She's funny.
She is funny.
She like cusses and everything all the time.
She is, absolutely.
I mean, I wish I could tell you these two stories that we're talking about.
But we'll wait, you know, it's not like she could close the door completely on those.
Right.
Right.
And when she said to wait about the thing?
Yeah, and I understand that.
I thought she meant wait until he...
No. She's waiting to see...
Croaks.
She's waiting to see if
right.
they find out what's going on.
Right, okay. All right, well, there's our friend Leah Remini.
Very cool.
From King of Queens. A show that she should not be concerned about because, frankly, they won their time slot last
right.
night.
Absolutely.
And I find it hard to believe that piece of garbage show that's on after it got higher ratings. I tuned into that show.
Hey, but that's also the curiosity factor, you know.
Right.
I mean, that's when something comes on right away.
I tuned in for 2 seconds and then
I literally watched less than 2 minutes
horrible
of that show. It really was horrible.
And then I watched football, of course, but I went back and forth between the Raymond show.
Raymond was hysterical.
And football. Now, if that's not a dilemma, you know, I'm having to go between Jamal Anderson twisting his leg and lying
right.
on the ground.
Uh-huh.
And Raymond's wife contemplating getting breast implants.
Including the scene of Raymond's wife in the bedroom when she had the tube socks under her breasts.
Oh, my God. Did those
she
look
She was
real?
Right. She told us that was going to be on the show. She says, you boys like it. It's going to be all about breasts.
Did that look real or what?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, our thanks to Leah Remini.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our big weekend.
There you go.
In Los Angeles.
L.A., man. Best trip ever. Best trip ever, really.
Yep.
It was the best.
Now, we still have more from Los Angeles, including Robbie's interviews with these lame celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
As we mentioned, this was a big bone of contention with the CBS people, that we had some celebrities that, frankly, we didn't feel were airworthy
right.
to be on this show.
We thought that, you thought that it would be more entertaining to actually play the interviews back and comment as, you know, a running commentary.
And we have, as it turns out, there was only two of them, because we packed up our bags and left as soon as we got Craig Kilborn.
Ran out of the room.
Got out of there really fast, but you will get to hear from Park Overall. I think it's her name from that show last night.
That's right. I know you joked at the end of the show the other day about that. Was that any fun? Because, I mean, I think she seemed like a fun, or was she not? You said Swoozy Kurtz was a little...
Well, Swoozy is just... She's just Swoozy, Mike.
She's an actress.
She is, very much.
Actress!
But the thing that I think you'll enjoy about the Park Overall interview is she keeps pulling Charlie into it.
There's
a couple awkward moments.
All right, very good.
Well, rack that tape up.
You got it.
And we'll listen to that when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike. It's the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, were you around when Braille and I were having an argument this weekend about my pronunciation of the word obvious?
I heard that. I overheard that, and I have some thoughts on the subject. But you tell me what he was saying.
Well, bring that tape in, Braille. I'm wrong. I'm totally wrong. He says that when I pronounce the word obvious...
Yes.
That if I am in a heated conversation on the radio, that
right. You say obvious.
That
right.
I lose the V.
True. Yeah, you have lost, you've done that for 15 years.
Okay, well, I was unaware.
I never felt that was something. You know that,
and it's
just like with me. I will say something, and there are times that we decide to bring it up and times we don't. I have been aware of that. I've been aware of that for a long time.
I spent the better part of an hour discussing this with Charles Broyhill.
I believe Mr. Broyhill, I will give him credit. I believe he has been aware of it for a longer period of time.
About 7 years. But you have so many minalities going on.
What are minalities?
What
the hell are a minalities? What is a minality?
he is a show-off. Somebody bought him a dictionary.
That's a whole lot of minor things put together.
Minor things put together.
Yeah, a whole bunch of them.
Minalities.
A group of minor details.
Is it a real world?
No.
You invented that word.
Well, you just made it up.
It's a good word. It's a Broyhill. Minality.
Right. You have
That's
so
right.
many of those.
So you guys had a discussion about obviously?
Just the letter V.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it started at Leah's couch.
Yeah, and I said to him, I said, you're full of crap. I said, obvious.
Yeah, that's when I heard about it, and I think you said, I said something, and he said something, this was late in the afternoon, because you said
and
something
you
to me.
Remember.
And I mean, you know, just like when I was trying to tell Buzz about, you know, at the, what was the story about Ann Marin? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I really kind of know, but it was the same thing. I remember you said something like, I mentioned obviously to him. I'm like, yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So what happened with that discussion? Did you dispute him?
I disputed him last night. I disputed him this morning on the way to the airport.
Oh, okay, all right.
Disputed him on the airplane. I said,
"Oh, really? You say it perfectly."
I say, "Obvious, obvious, obvious," and he says, "No, you say
he
obvious."
Listen to it there.
I'm the third one.
You're not alone, though. Liddy does the same thing.
Says obviously.
Well, obvious. Then I'm in good company.
Yes, you are.
What does the tape have to do with anything?
Well, that during a commercial break today, Broyhill...
Is that when you ran into the production studio during that?
He came running in and he said, hey, would you like to continue our discussion about the word obvious? And I said, no. And he said, I've got a tape.
Right.
And I said, okay, a tape from when? And he said, from today. And he played the tape. And on the tape, I said... Obvious. It's obvious.
Right.
Not obvious.
So, but I mean, you know, do you plan to change it, or what are you going to do?
Now I'm going to make every effort to pronounce...
I think the V slows you down.
To pronounce the V.
Yes. Obviously. Obviously. Let me see if you can say the same. Obviously? You can say quickly. Obviously, it slows you down. It does slow
down. There's no doubt that I fracture the language on a regular basis on this show.
It's the minorities.
That is shut up. That's part of my charm. But when something is pointed out to me, like, I'll tell you,
if everything was pointed out to you, it would not be a good thing to do. It wouldn't be a good thing to do for anybody on this show.
I know, because we'd be spending the whole show correcting me for mispronouncing words.
Correcting everybody, because nobody wants to be corrected. And if you're corrected on every single thing, then it would be, you would develop a complex.
And it's distracting from whatever story is being told.
Obviously.
No. I said it on purpose that time.
Obviously.
I said it on purpose.
Right.
Obviously.
The last time I remember really butchering something to the point when I had to make a conscious effort to change was when Jerry Seinfeld show first came on, and I kept calling him Seinfeld, and finally some guy called and said,
hey, you say Seinfeld.
Hey, you stupid idiot, there's not a T on the end of that, there's a D, and I said, well, I know, and then I realized that I was saying Seinfeld instead of Seinfeld.
Right.
And I, ever since, I think I've pronounced his name correctly.
Yeah.
Obviously.
The greatest linebacker in the history of the game still calls him Michael Irvins.
All right, we were talking about Sam Hubbard.
I understand.
I just want to say that there's miles of miles of difference between where I'm at and where Sam Huff is
at. Of course there is.
That distance is getting shorter by the day.
There are miles of difference.
Closer and closer by the day.
There are miles of difference where you are or where Sam is.
Yeah, and that distance is closing. It's like
that was in a veiled way. I have only one that I've ever. And if this is an air clearing, I'm clearing my one thing, and it's grammatical. It's the only thing I have, and I know it's going to happen. You're going to go, I'm going to keep doing that, and I shouldn't even say it because you're going to keep doing it, and it's grammatical. So it really doesn't matter, but it's always driven me crazy.
What?
You just did it.
Say it again.
You said there are miles of difference for where I'm at and where Sam is at.
Yeah.
And what it is there are miles of difference from where I am. Or where Sam is. See, it's like when you say, now wait a minute, now he's getting mad, but I'm telling you,
well, I'm not getting
that
mad.
Is all, yes you are, you see, you're getting mad.
It's okay, I'm
now,
getting
now
mad.
Come on, you're getting
okay,
angry.
I didn't have a fancy college education like you.
See, I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming.
I'm the great underachiever, excuse me.
I shouldn't have said that. And it's not that big. Okay. And you know something, the difference between that and obviously
I'm
is...
make a list right now. My mic list.
Yeah, okay. Very good.
Bye.
Buzz pointed out to me one time that I didn't know and I forgot what it was.
Atypical.
Atypical. I used to say this is the atypical when atypical is the opposite of that.
Atypical means not typical and you were
and
using
I used
it
to say that,
typical.
You know, like Leah Remini is the atypical good celebrity. Nice celebrity. When
you actually should say
she's the typical good celebrity, but that's why I always thought atypical was kind of like...
I thought it was that, too.
I thought it was that, too, and you said that to me, and it sucked.
Frankly, I don't care, because as long as people understand what I'm saying...
That's the most important thing.
Who gives a rat's ass?
Absolutely. Right.
But I got my list, so just... I want you to know, I'm going to start catching you. Okay? I'm going to keep my list right here. Mike. Right there. Top of my Beverly Hills Hotel stationery. Mike.
Is that Beverly Hills stationery that you have?
Sure
is. The fabulous hotel we stayed at.
Same, the exact same stationery that I wrote that I'm sorry letter to John Landecker with. Dear John.
Well, why don't you give me the back of that, and I, during the break, will write my I'm sorry letter, okay?
No.
It's fully aware of the fact. Let me tell you the way I read that, too. The only reason I said it is because it has for a long time. But I also don't feel that the level of it's not anything, it's not comparable to what Charlie mentioned because it's not anything that's real. You are like among millions. In fact, more people probably say that than say the other. So it is, in that category, it is too nitpicky. And that's
care.
Why, and now...
Mike, I just like to think of myself, if we're going to pigeonhole here, you know, I would much rather be with, you know, your common working man.
There you go.
And your silver spoon.
born with a silver spoon in my mind. When I was wearing the fancy short pants on my father's mansion.
That's right.
Growing up in the life of luxury.
That's right.
On my many, with my many servants that used to feed me my own meal in the morning. Lord Mike, when they referred to me back as Lord Mike.
Excuse me, fancy lad.
Richie Rich.
I'm not as fancy brought up as you. But I've done okay with my limited intellect, Mike.
You have indeed.
I've done okay. I drive a Volvo.
You have indeed. I will be ready. You'll be getting my apology letter in the morning.
Oh, forget about it. Come on. I'm just goofing. I just thought it was funny. From you, I don't mind. Okay? Broyhill. Well, listen, you're talking about a guy who is... Have you ever seen that movie Quest for Fire?
Yeah, I mean, Broyhill's the guy that weeks ago was only communicating with clicks and, and grunts. Right?
It might as well be called the Charles Broyhill story, the movie Quest for Fire. And he's got the balls to say to me when we're at Leah's house last night,
you know, you never say the word obvious right.
I said, what?
You never say it right, man.
We all were relaxed. Yeah. We were as relaxed as we've ever been as a group. Some of us more relaxed than others.
Yeah, that was obvious.
Yes, it was. Did you say obvious?
Yeah, except that time I dropped the first B. I just said obvious.
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 See, you say it so quick that it's hard to notice sometimes.
No, many people do, Mike.
Now are you going to have a complex about it?
No. No, absolutely not. I've got way too many other things to have a complex about. That's way down on my to-do list.
And I always want, I do want you to point out all of my errors, and I will, when you do that, I will actually, because of this moment, and the way you've handled it this moment, I will make every effort to take it well, although I take it probably worse than you do.
Frankly, I don't care if you use bad grammar or not. It matters not to me.
Well, I ain't gonna, you know,
right.
I ain't gonna slow the show down with
okay.
it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I could have went anywhere, but I decided to stay right here.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
And grammatically, I am not all that sound either, so I mean, I'm a little nervous about that.
And you know what's really goofy? You should hear me lecture my son about it.
About grammar?
Oh. Yeah, what's the one that I always give him where he says, Dad can Jarrett and me go somewhere.
Right.
And I say, if you were to take Jarrett out of that.
That's the best way to do
would
it.
Would you say, Dad can me go somewhere? I said, it should be Jarrett and I, not Jarrett and me.
Because you can say, can I go somewhere?
And then he'll say, but, Dad, I've heard you say on the show, me and Uncle Mike did this. Or
well, that's just relaxing it.
I know. And that's where I have to, again, make the distinction. Listen, don't do as I do.
Right. Right.
Do as my fellow workers.
And since you're doing that, I'd like to take this opportunity to just say a giant hello to all of the old money in America. Thank you. Thank you all very much for keeping this country great.
Listen, Robbie, you got your tape ready?
Ready to go.
All right, I got to do a break first.
All right.
And then we'll listen to these lame interviews that Rob did. Christ, toe-tapping touchstones right there.
Great, Don.
We are ready for a caller 100.
Great idea.
And secret sound number 6, which is worth... Secret sound number 3.
Secret sound number 3.
Which is worth, I'm sure it's nothing to you. You'll wipe your ass with this mic, but it's worth $600.
$600?
$600.
Get my lighter out.
Let's play the secret sound right now and qualify you for a trip to Los Angeles if you're the 100th caller on the toll-free line at 1-877-365-3636.
Yippee!
He's the dog. The gap closes.
I'm proud to announce that McGuire is no longer on the rag. And he's now closed it within 2.
Right, he's not on the schneid.
In the Dennis Murphy home run sweepstakes. And, Mike, we're now down to the last 12 games of the season.
Ooh. Yeah, and I do not feel good. You know something?
Sosa 61,
right.
McGuire 59.
I almost feel like this is almost predetermined. I swear to God, the way things go on this show, the way it is, I feel it's predetermined that perhaps... Yeah, all along, Dennis was meant to be at my house. And that, you know, you know what I'm thinking about really seriously instead of this bet? I'm thinking about now, you know, what I can do, what circumstances I can do at my home just to make the tape sound okay. Honest to God, that's what I'm thinking about. You know, when will I bring, you know, will I bring the tape into Dennis and, you know, first thing in the morning?
I'd just like to point out, you're still in the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have a 2-home run advantage.
If Dennis comes to my house, I will tell you right now, he was recorded while he was sleeping. I will record him when he's in the shower. I commit that to you if he comes to my house.
I make no such promise.
I know you don't.
But that's the latest in the home run race. Come on, Sammy. And they play again tonight.
Yes. And as I told you in the office, Mark McGuire, in my opinion, has a little different attitude than Sammy. I think Sammy's just content to have a lot of home runs, but I think Mark McGuire recognizes this as what he should, a battle.
And what's great now is that for the next couple of days, it's the Cubs playing against the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. Ian Wrigley.
Right.
Right. Yeah, where Mark McGuire could, you know, foul it off and it would just spin back and go over the center field wall.
I love Don and Mike Schick. You're still winning.
I know.
Come on, you're still in the lead.
I had that one day when he was like 5 ahead where I came in and I kinda had the attitude. The attitude just doesn't fit and I came in and said, and I remember you that day when you said, okay, yeah, be that way, and that's when it turned right there.
Mike, do what I do. Mm-hmm. Pray for a tie.
Oh yeah. Thanks, buddies. Tie would be great.
Because if there's a tie Dennis goes to spend the night with the Elstons.
Absolutely.
With them only 2 apart, it could happen.
It could happen. It could happen.
Hello.
Corn's coming.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, am I caller 100?
Yes, you sure are.
Excellent.
What is your name?
My name is Doug.
Hi there, Doug. Where are you calling us from?
Iowa City, Iowa.
Beautiful. And you're listening on the KCJJ.
Yes, I am.
You won the David Letterman T-shirt, courtesy of CBS.
I'll take it.
Tune into CBS tonight for the season premiere of JAG. You've also qualified qualified for Friday's weekly giveaway.
I'll take that, too.
Somebody on Friday is going to win a vacation for two to Los Angeles. Trip includes round-trip air, three-nights hotel. I almost said that like a Japanese guy.
Did you see Ken walk by the window just then?
Encouraged. No, Ken Stevens?
Yeah.
What was he doing?
Would you like just a very brief impression of how Ken... I have to show you. I'm going to go out for 5 seconds and show you how Ken walked by the window.
Okay.
Let me see. I just have to show you because it made me laugh.
Are you actually going to go walk by the window?
All right.
Hold on. Can you hold on there? We're going to watch Mike walk by the window.
Yeah, go ahead.
See how Ken walked by the window. It'll take Mike a while to get out to the... All right, he was obviously hunkered down.
Dodged past the window.
He didn't want to be seen.
Hey, can I get the picture of you guys with Leah on her couch?
No. Oh, Robbie, listen. Yes. Have you developed that film yet?
I didn't have a chance today, but I'll have it for you. Guess what? Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay, do it tomorrow, and then let's get that right out to her so that can get up on the fridge.
Absolutely.
Listen, Friday we're giving away this trip for two to Los Angeles, trip with round-trip air, three-nights hotel, and tickets to a taping of a CBS TV show. Welcome reception, transfers to and from the airport, show taping, man, more. All of this courtesy CBS. Tune in to CBS tonight for the season premiere of JAG, only on CBS.
CBS.
Or as we like calling it, MBS. The Mel Broadcasting System.
Here, here. All hail.
Okay?
All right.
So you've done okay up to this point.
All right, I've got it.
You've got the secrets now.
Hold on. Wait a minute. You confident?
I'm confident.
Hold on. Let me play it myself in here. Who's a man with the money, makes a dark day sunny? Who's a fella every day, gives a bundle away? Hi there. Who's a guy with the prices that'll light up your eyes? Just never end and get a friend and get ready. Hey, 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 hey. Get ready to play. Okay.
He's just come in.
You think you know the secret sound?
Well, I've been listening for a while.
All right, then I'm not going to give you the free listen.
I'll take the free listen.
No. Uh-huh. Your listen will be on the clock, sir.
All right.
You'll hear the prompt from Dude Walker saying, name this noise, hear the sound, and then we'll give you 15 seconds to think about it.
No matter how, you know, confident you are, you wait till the end of the music before you make your decision, all right?
I'm confident.
And good luck. It's $600 on the line. Here you go.
Caller, name this noise.
Give us the crescendo this time, right, Mike?
Absolutely. I just cleared my throat.
All right, this gentleman says he is confident. For $600, what is secret sound number three?
Is it an old record player dropping a record onto the turntable?
Yeah, right.
Oh, please.
We're sorry.
Yeah, that's an everyday sound you'd hear every day.
Listen to me saying, oh, please. I have no idea what the sound is. I was so hopeful.
Oh, come on.
Play it again, and you'll see that's what it is.
No, we know what it is.
I know what it is.
Don knows what it is.
That's not what it is.
We don't know. I don't know. But Don knows what it is. Come on, don't be ridiculous.
Come on, really. It's an everyday sound. Everybody, not everybody has a record player. That's my point.
That's true.
But thank you for the guess.
All right, well, thank you.
All right, thank you, my friend. Hold on, please.
Of course, the last sound, though, was a dryer. Not everyone has a dryer, either. I don't want to be difficult. I'll stop. People, I've been difficult enough on this show
today. People go to a laundromat, though.
That's true. So you see the sound you could hear.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, unless they have just a...
Some people don't go to a laundromat.
Unless they just have a string in their backyard. Like Joe Ardinger.
Joe washes all his clothes in the brook on a rock. The only time he has dirty clothing is like when he hits a salamander or something like that.
Joe and his brother in their Unabomber hut. Or as Regis would say, the Unibomber.
The Unabomber?
The Unabomber?
Now, I'm showing you a picture of the Ardinger cabin. No running water whatsoever. And simply a wood stove, a wool stove, a wool stove.
I'm writing that on my list.
There it is. There's the list of mistakes.
The wool stove.
That's right. You'll send them to me.
Okay, let's listen to Rob do some interviews with lame celebrities.
Very good.
These are people that, frankly, we didn't want to waste your valuable time with yesterday. So during commercials, Rob and Charlie Broyhill interviewed them, and we promised CBS that we would play these interviews back on today's show.
Just sounds funny when you say Rob and Charlie Broyhill interviewed them.
Yeah, Charlie's on it.
Pretty funny that he's involved in this.
This first one, her name is Park Overall, and she's on that show that was on last night, but perhaps best remembered as the lovable whore in Biloxi Blues.
That's right. She got that southern thing.
Oh, we discussed that.
She was on the show Empty Nest.
I tried to play it sort of straight to see if the stars would say stupid things. So that's...
Did you ask her the question about Mel?
Mel comes up in the interview.
Did you ask about how she, if she's proud to be working for CBS? Robbie and I were doing a whole bunch of questions that we were supposed to ask.
Mike, I'm trying, all right? Am I not doing better?
No, you're doing fine. I'm sorry.
What's he supposed to do better
at? I wasn't laughing at that. I wasn't laughing at that.
No, I know. You're making fun of my breathing hard.
No, I was laughing at something on your nose.
Oh, that.
On the left side.
Oh, well, you know what? Thank God. I'm sensitive about the breathing hard on
Mike. Let me see. Oh, he's just got another pimple.
It's huge, though. And it started.
It looks unbelievably painful.
You know what? I think I can thank the palm for that, because the amount of fat in that meal has centered in my head and out the left side of my nose. Okay. I'm sorry. I was sensitive about the breathing.
No,
this I can't even.
I didn't even notice the breathing.
I put my glasses on this morning. They sprung off. It was horrible.
Wow. Okay.
And then the Zed laughed.
All right. Well, let's hear Robbie. Hold, let me see who's on the phone first. Hello, Don and Mike Show. That was the guy who hung up. Somebody wants to say something about you, Rob. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, this is Alan Thicke, and I would like to speak to Don and Mike.
Right, Alan Thicke. If you were Alan Thicke, you wouldn't sound...
Damn song on there.
No, you wouldn't sound like that. You'd sound more like this. This is Alan Thicke, and I want to talk to Don and Mike and tell them they are grounded for playing that song.
They are grounded.
Come on now. You don't sound anything like Alan Thicke.
This is Alan Thicke.
Oh, come on.
Right.
I got Alan Thicke right here between my pants.
This is Alan Thicke.
Right between my legs.
Let's hear Rob with Park Overall.
Your name's Charlie? Why does he sit so far away?
It's taken us this year.
This is the beginning of the interview?
That's the first thing
That's
she
the first
said.
Thing she
you
says?
Down, yeah.
Your name's Charlie?
Well, she's immediately smitten with Charlie Broyhill.
Rewind it.
Your name's Charlie. So explain this to me. You're sitting where I was sitting, and Broyhill's sitting in Mike's chair, right?
But the first thing she says is... Your name's Charlie, because she's talking to Charlie. She's automatically drawn to Broyhill.
All right. Here she is, Park Overall.
Your name's Charlie? Why does he sit so far away?
It's taken us this year years to get him this close.
It's worse when we're on a plane.
It is. He really hates sitting near me on a plane.
You just hate being on a plane or sitting near him?
I don't like him.
He doesn't like you.
I don't like him. I hear Charlie in the background saying, I don't like him.
Does Charlie ever talk on microphone?
Oh, yeah. He gets closer to the mic.
Oh, okay. All right.
We're partners.
Hey, that's what I call, you know, dedication and teamwork.
Well, it's just me trying to be close and him pushing.
What have you got, a stopwatch?
Stopwatch. I got to keep track of everything. He tends to ramble.
What?
Are you a Yankee?
No.
What are you?
He's a Broyhill.
Are you a Yankee?
At any point, did she have any idea that you guys could not be further from two guys really doing a radio show?
She eventually asks, who are Don and Mike? But you'll enjoy that. You'll enjoy that. It comes out. It sort of comes full circle.
Okay. But right now, she thinks that it's really you and Charlie doing a radio
thinks
show.
Thinks it's a show. Very thinks good. It's okay. A good show.
Very good.
No.
Are you a Yankee?
No, really, technically not. We're from Virginia.
Yes.
Can't you tell by our thick accent?
No.
I can't.
You're not.
No, I'm from Tennessee.
Well, Mike, I trust you're rolling on all of this.
2 points, dude. 2.
We're here with...
Oh, it killed me. It just killed me. Did you watch Miss America?
Hold on a second. Back. Is she wasted?
I don't know.
She didn't
smell wasted.
What's 2 points mean?
I think it was something that someone said to her behind her, and she chose that moment to get on the mic and scream 2 points. Do you remember what it was?
Talking about what?
Here comes broadcaster Charlie Broyhill.
My partner. Shut up. She was talking about
an obvious broadcaster.
That's correct. At the time, it was the Florida-Tennessee football game.
Played
on Saturday.
Ah, very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
So she was excited about a score.
She was disappointed.
Ah.
Tennessee lost.
She's a little late on that. She's 2 days late on that. She just heard?
No, I was rubbing it in.
Okay. All right. You were talking to her about Florida, Tennessee.
Okay. All right.
Well, Park Overall.
Hey.
Claire Stiles and a ladies' man. How exciting is it to be a part of CBS's Monday night lineup?
I don't know. Everybody, y'all are much more excited about Monday night than me. I don't watch TV, so I didn't know it was a big deal. I would have thought Monday night football would have been the thing, but apparently we come on before Monday night football.
Yeah, but I mean, that's such a great lineup with King of Queens.
I've never seen those shows, honey. Have you?
Oh, every.
Have you, Charlie?
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Like Charlie.
Charlie, honey.
Have you, Charlie? You come here and come to mama. It's like she's very close to the character in Biloxi Blues.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's, you know, who knows how contrived it is. It sounds a little contrived. You know, Charlie.
Have you, Charlie?
You come over here to mama. You sit on my lap.
Never miss it. But you're on a great cast. You're a ladies' man, and you're working. You got to be excited to be working with Betty White.
Betty White, when I am not funny, I pull Betty over and I say, Betty, why am I not funny? And she will say, oh, dear darling, what, Betty? And she will tell me, emphasize this word, emphasize this line. Park, this is an old joke, is it, Betty? Yes, this is an old joke. Here's how the joke goes. I swear to you.
She must be asking Betty White that an awful lot on that show.
Yeah, I saw even the 5 minutes of that show I saw.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, she's supposed to be the funny one, and she came into the room, and it was just like...
In the bathroom?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, contrived.
Yuck.
She has saved my ass a couple of times.
She is really cool. She was by earlier today, and
she's incredible.
Very
and,
cool.
You know, she and I share a love of animals. We are really into critters.
Oh, I see.
In a big way.
Critters. I can tell by the way you're talking. Now, you're from what part of New York?
East Tennessee. We make the distinction. Dixie Carter, also on her show, is from West Tennessee. There's East, Middle, and West. We make the distinction because we are that way.
Could you imagine what a bore this would be if you really had to sit and listen to this hick talk? Can you imagine if we actually had to have her on the show trying to do this interview?
Well, with her clothes, huh?
Did you get a good look at her when she was walking through the crowd?
Yes, I did, honey.
Did you?
There you go.
Ryan.
I don't know. It's a choice between her and Tyne.
Oh,
really?
Tyne Daly. I don't know if we mentioned this yesterday. Tyne Daly officially is a man, has a penis, and wears this, no joke, special shoes.
Yeah, she was wearing some shoes for support.
Mm.
It was, you know, like the old nurse shoes.
Right.
You see, the old lady shoes that my aunts used to wear.
Tyne Daly is a freaking monster. She is like Tom Gavin's mother.
Oh, man.
When she came walking into the room yesterday.
Yeah, it was just like,
it was like a New York brownstone in corrective shoes when she came walking in yesterday. I swear to God. And she, the first person she went to hug was Doris Roberts.
Yes. And, I mean, she made Doris Roberts look really like, you know, let's go to Acapulco.
Doris Roberts, who incidentally I heard when we were leaving, was pissed.
That she didn't get to do the show?
Yeah, that we didn't have her down on the list.
Mm. Oh, really? Did we specifically not have her on that list,
yeah.
Or was it we just ran out of time?
No, they said, who do you want from Raymond?
We did want the other lady from Raymond.
The mom or the wife.
We'd never interviewed her before.
Patricia Heaton
was very nice.
I'd rather have that hot Patricia Heaton.
But Tyne also made a real entrance, too. Like, you know, surrounded by people.
Didn't you think she was dressed like a bag lady,
oh,
though, when
absolutely.
She came in?
And her hair, that stringy gray hair now that she's got, it's like, hello.
Leah had some nasty things to say about her, too. I'm sure she doesn't want us to repeat.
Of course.
Right here.
Sure.
But she had a lot of things to say about Tyne Daly.
Tyne apparently, you know, is the star, too.
Right.
Absolutely. Like some other, you know, somebody was telling us Faye Dunaway has the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
When they've been at it a while.
I think it was Leah Remini was telling us
No,
that.
Somebody else had said that. I forgot who it was that said worked with Faye Dunaway, and I was trying... Because we didn't ask Leah that question. We wouldn't have asked her that question.
We talked about Tyne Daly, though, because we saw Tyne Daly.
Yeah, we did talk about Tyne Daly.
When we were walking out with Leah, we said, look at her. Look at Nurse Ballbreaker over there.
Darn, I wish I could remember who we said that.
Well, somebody. Listen, hold on a second. Robbie?
Yes?
We've not even started to listen to this interview, right?
There's right.
Plenty more? Okay. And who else?
Pussy Kurtz.
Oh.
That's the one that Rob said she was an actress.
Okay. All right, we'll listen to both those interviews in their entirety. When we come right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show, Sports 1140.
They're so nice, they pick me as their spokesman, because I'm nice.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, this is Rob calling from Silver Spring. Wanted to let you know who thought Faye Dunaway was hell to work with.
Who's that?
That was Terry Farrell.
Terry
from Pecker with a B.
All right, Terry Farrow, you're correct. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
You know, one thing we ended up with yesterday after the show was we have a commitment from Terry Farrell to call the show, kind of like Kevin and Leah do.
Right.
And also our friend Kevin Pollack wants to start calling in all the time.
Very cool.
Because I think Leah was talking to Kevin Pollack saying, we called these guys, and our ratings started going up.
Absolutely.
So I think we might have three or four that actually call us this year. And as we mentioned earlier, Dick Van Dyke is also putting our picture up on the set of Diagnosis Murder.
So it was really a productive trip, even with the interviews that Rob had to do.
Right. Well, at least you didn't have to hear them live during the show yesterday.
Right.
You can hear them now interspersed with what we really think.
And I also think that we have developed one theory here that this park overall had the steam and undies for Mr. Charles Broyhill.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get back to Rob's very exciting interview.
Thank you.
With the very worthless Park Overall from CBS Monday. York?
East Tennessee. We make the distinction. Dixie Carter, also on our show, is from West Tennessee. There's East, Middle, and West. We make the distinction because we are that way.
Is there any
like you are a Yankee,
no,
as far as I'm concerned.
No, we're from Virginia.
Northern.
Yeah, but above Northern Virginia, there's still Maryland.
That's true.
And they all seceded.
Charlie's getting closer.
Yes. We're working with them. Well, you've worked with a lot of great people. I'm looking over your bio. You worked with Arnold Schwarzenegger in Kindergarten Cop. What was that like? He must have been pretty incredible.
He's a big man. He's like really a big man.
I think this answers a lot of questions for people who wonder, why is there not a Rob Spiewak show?
Oh, God.
Tonight on CBS, it's the Rob Spiewak interview.
Who directed that movie? Ivan
Reitman.
Reitman. They would, each morning, somebody would come later and later just to see who could be the latest. So we'd get started around 1 o'clock. That's a true story.
Are you on time usually to stuff like that?
Hell yeah.
You have to be, don't you?
Well, I don't think much of people who are late. Are you ever late?
I've never been late.
Charlie?
What's the question?
Are you late? Are you ever late?
Charlie!
You know, she mentioned to Charlie again.
Right.
Since we came back from break, she said something about Charlie.
Yeah, and right? Charlie says it got more interesting.
Okay. No, never.
Your job, yeah.
Never.
I try not.
Charlie's never told me what time I had to be there, so I've never been late as far as
Charlie's a jumpy fellow. He's always looking around
jumpy.
With a stopwatch. What's that about?
So I'm not late. I want to make sure I'm everywhere on time.
I would tell you what's so funny about this is that when we take our breaks, when we do our show, even if we're on the road or in the studio,
right,
we always break for the same amount of time, 6.5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason Broyhill's looking at his stopwatch is that he knows that he only has 6.5 minutes before Mike and I come waltzing back.
Sure.
And at that point, we don't want to have to say to Lacey Underalls here, listen, honey, you're not really good enough to be interviewed on the real show. Now you got to move.
You know, can we hear the last laugh that she had? Did anybody hear that?
Yes.
Quality? That is really strangulated. That's fascinating. You hear that?
All right, let me hear it. Let's listen to it.
Charlie's never told me what time I had to be there, so I've never been late as far as
Charlie's a jumpy fellow. He's always looking around with a stopwatch. What's that about?
So I'm not late.
Right here.
I want to make sure I'm everywhere on time. Now, I think Park, you're probably best known. Your role in Biloxi Blues.
Oh, you think?
And it says here as
I was the whore in Mississippi Burning, too.
It says the lovable prostitute. Now, by definition, doesn't a prostitute have to be lovable?
I don't think so at all.
She's going to fail otherwise.
She just has to be likable.
So you played it on stage and in the movie, right?
Yeah, I did.
Do you prefer stage work to movie work? Or what? How do
I like them both. I'm very lucky to work at all at my age.
I would second that.
Absolutely.
You're lucky to be working.
Well, and I just like it all. Stage work is the most difficult, obviously, and the most compelling.
Mm-hmm.
Film work is
who stages her
a
makeup
lot of fun.
In the morning.
You just live from trailer to trailer, and I think that's pretty neat.
A lot of people have said that film work...
What does Charlie listen for?
Everybody.
are you looking for stars, Charlie? What do you know?
It's so funny. He's looking for us.
Right.
He wants to make sure that you and I don't come back around the corner.
Who's Charlie looking for?
He's looking, saying, you got to get her out of here at 2 minutes before they get back.
You still got your stopwatch?
No, she's focused on him.
I'm not looking for anything.
You're not?
No. I'm just looking.
If y'all could see him, he's just looking and looking and looking and watching his stopwatch.
He likes to watch. He likes to keep things
going. Are you an observer?
Yes.
You're an observer. Yes, I'm an observer, too.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Keep going. I'm enjoying this.
Are you married, Charlie?
No, I'm not.
Why not?
Because I haven't met someone to marry.
How old are you?
35.
35.
Yeah.
Well, you can ask me out if you like.
Okay.
Wow.
She asked you out, Charlie. She must really go for stupid guys. I mean, listen to this. She's really coming on to him.
You know, after the interview, she walked up and said,
I really like to do you. I want to do you.
You.
John.
Yeah, I know.
Hold on, back it up. We're going to get her age now, I think, right?
72.
Are you married, Charlie?
No, I'm not.
Why not?
Because I haven't met someone to marry.
How old are you?
35.
35.
Yeah.
Well, you can ask me out if you like.
Okay.
How
old are you?
I'm 42. I don't know why people are, why women are touchy about that.
Isn't that a Southern thing, as from someone from Tennessee?
Oh, I think it absolutely is, mm-hmm. and I would never ask a Southern woman, but I'd ask almost anyone else.
Really?
Oh, sure.
Ailes?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Charlie, get a little more confident
as,
now.
As a Southerner, and it does creep through occasionally on certain words you say, what's it like living in Los Angeles? This is a crazy town.
Oh, do you think? See, I think New York's a crazy town.
She has no idea that she's just being goofed with, right?
No, not at all.
She really thinks it's the Rob Sewick show.
Yeah, and it's, you know, she's...
He does, Greg. Yeah, this is a crazy town.
It's wild.
Really?
Wild.
Yeah, I like it here. They got Walmart and Kmart and highways and cars and things that I can relate to. Yeah,
all
that's
the
all the marts. And we got, yeah, I just like it. I like the weather. I like the people. People act like Hollywood's like some really weird deal. It's really not. It's just very provincial people, frankly.
Does it bother you that they use the wrong time zone?
No.
Really?
I like being 3 hours younger than the rest of...
That is a Rob question right there. You confused her, Rob, with your very dry wit.
The wrong time zone.
What are you talking about?
Well, that's a good way to look at it. We're here with Park Overall, Claire Stiles, and Ladies Man, and that's going to be on Monday nights. I think it's at 8:30.
Yeah.
8:30 on CBS.
Please join us.
Everybody join in and watch that. And we really appreciate you coming by.
Thank you, guys.
We wish you lots of success.
Have all the Yankees join us.
I shall. And I want to give you a keychain before you go. And one last question.
Hey.
It must be so exciting to be on CBS. What's your favorite thing about the Columbia Broadcasting System?
Is that what the C is?
I didn't even know that. I did not know that.
Really?
No.
I just heard some of that rapier Braille whip.
Is that what the C is? Hey! Me love you. Me. You ask me out.
Well, but what's your favorite
thing? I'll tell you what my favorite thing is.
Yeah.
Okay, I've been on TV for years, you know, mm-hmm. and they send you a gift all the time for Christmas and things. CBS sends the best gifts.
What'd you get last year?
You get gifts?
You get gifts.
We don't.
Like NBC once sent an airplane blanket that said NBC on it. That's one dumb gift. Yeah, that's dumb.
Well, if you have a cold airplane.
Yeah, but it was a Christmas gift.
I suppose.
You don't send airplane blankets.
Did you get anything from ABC ever?
No, because I never worked on ABC except for movies, and they send nice T-shirts.
Okay, how about Fox?
I've never been on Fox.
Any cable gifts?
No. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
But that was from a...
Imagine this dumb bitch really thinks that this is a real radio show. And anybody would really be remotely interested in listening to this. I mean, not if it wasn't a goof. Yes. No, let me think about it. That's on a cable movie there. Airplane blanket. They sent me an airplane blanket.
Charlie?
Are you married?
Ask me. You can ask me out. Sure. They send jewelry and stuff. But CBS sent this time, they sent a photo album of like hardwoods,
mm-hmm.
and then you open in the box and then I have all my llamas and horses put in the,
I see.
The picture.
You know,
What? I don't get it. I don't know.
CBS sent her a photo album.
Like for her to put her own pictures in?
Pictures of critters in it.
Oh, all right.
That's
okay.
Nice. Okay. I saw a picture.
You know what would be a good picture for that photo album? Is Mel Karmazin.
Who's Don and Mike?
Don and Mike?
Uh-oh.
Those are my employers.
Huh. What?
You sound so disappointed.
Well, I just did just Don and Mike show, and neither one of you are Mike.
I'm sort of a stringer for the Don and Mike.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, you're the stringer. Okay. Uh-oh.
Because what we have is CBS has provided so much grand entertainment, it's too much for one show.
That's right.
So we're doing additional segments that will air throughout the week.
I see. And you're in the Washington, D.C. area?
And about 60 other cities coast to coast.
Is that right?
Thusly illustrated by my partner.
Oh, Bakersfield. You're in Bakersfield.
You know, listen to her tone now. You have identified yourself as a stringer.
Yes.
She has a decided lack
happy.
Of energy.
Not happy.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Closing in. Anything in
Mobile?
Tennessee? Partner?
Not a thing.
Tennessee? No. But we have been there, I think.
You've been to Tennessee?
Yeah, we've
seen pictures.
I've been to Graceland.
That laugh.
I guess that does that count?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, enjoy
it. Y'all ever been to Dollywood?
No, but you know, Don has been to the Country Stampede, whatever Dolly Parton's restaurant
is. Pretty good.
And, you have to eat chicken with your hands there.
Yeah.
It sucks. Maybe you folks have heard me discuss that on some of our best
Dixie
of tapes.
Stampede, because you had such a bad time, I checked it out myself.
Down in Myrtle Beach, it's the worst place I've ever been to in my life.
And all the songs you were accurate about, too, is like, eat your chicken, eat it good, slop up all your chicken with your biscuit in there.
And I don't see how any black people could go there.
Right.
Because the whole point is, the wrong side won the war.
Yes,
the
battle.
Wrong side won the war.
They're sitting there eating chicken. It's a reenactment of the Civil War.
Oh, God.
It's really weird.
They actually said with an audience that was mixed, blacks and whites, they said, on this side of the arena, you're rooting for the North.
Right.
On this side, you're rooting for the South.
Oh, I mean, really, you expect the next line to be, pardon our insensitivity. Let the games begin.
You actually have black people who are sitting on the South side who are rooting for the South because they're being told to by Dolly Parton's waiters and waitresses.
From the guy that's standing on the horse's back. You know? And then, but a lot of the songs are like, you know, eat your food, it's good, rip the legs off the chicken.
Sucked. She loved it. Shocker.
Park Overall loved it.
Right, you have to eat chicken with your hands there.
Yeah, you have to eat chicken, but you get some damn good entertainment.
I see. He said it was very, very good.
People should be on Broadway and stuff.
Well, perhaps someday. Well, they're telling me that we need to go. So Park Overall.
They're a nervous bunch, ain't they?
Claire Stiles. Ladies, you know, they were calm until Charlie got here. She's in Ladies'
really
Man.
Nervous.
Make sure you watch it Monday nights on CBS.
Hey, you're a doll. Thank
Park,
you.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
A lot.
Have a good one. Bye-bye now.
Oh, she was just...
Thank you.
We'll listen to Swoozy Kurtz tomorrow.
Okay.
Robbie.
I enjoyed that so much, I would rather save that for tomorrow.
I would, too.
We can really enjoy it.
Oh, where's Charlie?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don. Hello, Mike. Welcome back.
Thank you, Dennis.
Hey, after Friday's show, I look at McDonald's.
Oh, I got to tell you. I about bust a gut. Did you see me wave at you Friday, Dennis?
Yes.
I was pulling out of the station on Friday night. Remember, Dennis came down to show us his underwear to make sure he didn't poop in his pants. And he's a man of his word.
Yep.
I went down to the corner by the McDonald's. I made my right-hand turn to start my drive home. Dennis was in the parking lot, and he had his stained brown underpants hanging from his aerial.
Hey, that'll help you wash down your McNuggets.
Hanging from his antenna on his car. And he was actually selling a T-shirt to a guy, and I drove by, and it was just surreal. I saw those underpants hanging from his radio antenna. I just honked my horn and went, good night, Dennis.
Your last view of the area on a Friday night, a great entrepreneur.
But, God, guess what happened?
What?
Austin, a cab driver, bought my underwear for $40.
He bought your underwear?
Oh, my God.
Why would someone want to buy those underpants?
God, I don't know.
He's a fan.
Austin, but he's a Dennis Murphy fan. Underwear. I got,
All right.
I'll take you $40. I got, okay.
Well, congratulations.
And how many T-shirts did you sell, Ben?
Oh, I sold seven.
Seven T-shirts and $40 for your brief.
Yeah,
your brief.
And also I got a whole bunch of double-tree chocolate chip cookies, too.
Oh. Right. Well, there were some of the chocolate chip cookies in those briefs that you had.
Oh, okay, Mike.
Those were some nasty underpants, Dennis.
That's right. Come on, Don.
You know what? I'd love that cab driver to call the show.
Yeah,
I'd love to interview the man that bought Dennis's brown stained underpants for $40.
They were not stained.
They were not stained.
They have tire cracks, but they weren't stained.
Let me enlighten you.
What?
That is a stain.
That is a stain.
Okay.
They had biological stains, but
the jury acquitted you of pooping in your pants, but they were stained.
But hats off to you, the Donald Trump of the Don and Mike Show. You managed to turn a tidy profit indeed, Mr. Bigglesworth, on those underpants.
And all I was saying, Dennis...
And
all I was saying, Dennis, was it just looked like you were, you know, carrying some chocolate chip cookies in those briefs.
Okay, Mike, I know what you're saying.
Right after they were baked.
Okay.
All right.
I can't believe it.
Congratulations on selling your underpants for $40, Dennis.
No problem.
All right, see ya.
Can I introduce Doug?
Yeah, go to ask him what his lead story is.
Hey, Doug.
Yes, Dennis.
What is your lead story?
Tonight, more sweatshop troubles for Kathy Lee.
Oh, are you kidding?
No.
Hey, now, that's fantastic.
All right.
Kathy C in the news. Dennis?
Yeah.
Goodbye.
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 Goodbye. Dennis has sold his first painting.
That's right.
Oh, Buzz took his money pills today.
He's
you
revved
see?
Up.
Yeah. You see? You leave him behind for a day.
Sure.
Look at that. Makes him work a little harder.
Right.
Like that, Buzz. Like that. Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up. On the Don and Mike
Show. That was very
professional.
Is the Don and Mike Show. Sports 1140 KHTK.
Your Giffords line of clothing is now accused of making death threats against its workers to keep them in line. The company is called Caribbean Apparel. It's actually based in Missouri, and it makes Kathy Lee's clothing line for Walmart and Jacqueline Smith's line for Kmart. It's more fun to pick on Kathy Lee, apparently. That's how it seems to work. The National Labor Committee's just back from El Salvador for a little factory inspection. It says the young women who work there still work in brutal conditions, 6-day weeks, 11-hour days, 60 cents an hour, and they get fired and blacklisted for trying to stand up for their rights, and in at least one case, they get death threats. A spokeswoman for Kathy Lee says she has 30 inspectors there now, making sure that the factory is in compliance with labor standards.
What a bunch of crap that, you know, and that's the whole spin that she did about mm-hmm. how she now is going to be on the point for this. And all right. that was really, I mean, let's not, it was PR crap.
It was PR BS.
Absolutely.
And now that means that tomorrow we can look forward to turning on the Regis show.
Yeah,
and
watch her cry again.
She'll come on real sanctimonious and go,
right.
Regis, once again, the media is misunderstanding me.
You know, and anybody that wasn't Kathy Lee, and anything going on as far as DC goes down, takes a look at that, realizes how much money she makes anyway, doesn't right. need the money, right. goes in and says, you know, this is so abominable, I'm taking my name off the line. Oh no! She's not going to do that.
Supposedly, she has 30 inspectors down there now
That's
to
crap.
Make sure everything's right, and if not, according to her spokeswoman, Kathy Lee will take her name off the products if things aren't up to snuff. Of course, they will be for the inspector.
Right. I'll believe that when I see it.
30 inspectors.
30 inspectors from
really?
Kathy Lee.
You know, more than the death threats, it's the first part of that story when you said something along the lines of, you know, the conditions are still, you know,
right.
there's no increase in wages.
Right.
The conditions are still abominable. I mean, you know, oh, God, that makes me sick.
You know the conversation in her house.
Kathy? Kathy, it's Giff. Listen, your husband, I've got some bad news. They know about the conditions. They know. Honey, listen. I thought we spun that. Honey, please, settle down, honey.
Oh, man, those bastards.
Honey.
I hate them.
I love your knockers.
Oh, I want more money.
Your knockers are bigger than Susan Johnson's.
I know, but you can't put your name on any clothing anymore, Giff.
Honey.
You can't even hold a job.
Honey.
I need this job.
Honey, I've just made in my pants.
I'm not cleaning it this time. You clean it yourself. No, you're not. You don't have to clean it. Cody!
Honey.
Clean your father up.
Honey, Cody's already had to clean me twice this week.
Wow.
Hey, this is Frank Gifford.
I hope they buy that crap about the 30 inspectors I have. I thought that was brilliant.
Honey, didn't I tell you, sweetums, that eventually they'd find out there's no inspectors?
Oh, no, but I thought I batted my eyes at the Secretary of Labor.
Didn't I tell you, sweetums?
Oh, no.
Sweetums, I loved seeing your big, perky nipples on the Regis show today.
Oh, thank you, Frank. But anyway, let's get back to business. Listen, tomorrow on the show, you know what I'll do. I'll do what Regis has been so happy. He'll let me do that. I'll cry my little eyes out.
I'll keep the children out of school.
And I'll tell them that if I really think that there's something going on, I'll pull my name off it. And, of course, it'll die down after a while. We'll still be able to make the money.
Yes, dear. Frank Gifford here.
Now go clean yourself up, quarterback. Take that leather helmet off your head.
Cody, come over here. Help your old dad.
Help your father, Cody.
I don't care. Oh, it all smells the same.
How many times have I told you, Giff, you wear the adult diaper when you're in the kitchen?
Mariah, help daddy, wipe daddy.
Wipe your father.
Mariah Carey didn't show at the New York Stock Exchange this morning where she was supposed to ring the opening bell. And the Dow closed down 225 points. NASDAQ down 65.
I'm sure she has something to do with that.
No, actually, investors were slowly selling off their stocks out of concern over a weaker dollar. Mariah Carey said that the rain and the traffic kept her from making her appearance.
She just couldn't get out of bed. And just couldn't make
That's
it right. any
time. Yeah, bad hair day.
Cody, you missed the spot.
Oh.
Okay, Dad.
Yes, Dad. Conservative politician Pat Buchanan still paying for his comments about Adolf Hitler. In his new book, Buchanan says the Nazi movement presented, and I quote, no physical threat to the United States of America, end quote, after 1940.
That's right.
Wow.
That Pat Buchanan. Was there anything in the book about I want to be just like him?
No, he didn't quite go that far.
All right.
But he said that was reason enough for the U.S. not to get involved in World War II. He says,
oh, my God.
As far as Pat Buchanan is concerned, in his book, he says the Battle of Britain in 1940 pretty much took care of the whole problem.
That's right.
Well, that's right.
Wow.
Billionaire Donald Trump, who may be competing with Buchanan.
Yeah, we had no reason to go in there.
Wow.
There was nothing bad going on over there.
Can't believe that. His feeling was that after the Battle of Britain in 1940, that Hitler really wasn't going to go any farther, that there would be no further aggression. Never mind the aggression and the crimes against humanity that had been committed.
Yeah, absolutely.
He just felt that Hitler wasn't going to go any farther. So, you know, what's
the point? He wasn't
going
to come onto our shores.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, Donald Trump, who may be competing with Buchanan for the Reform Party's presidential nomination, says Buchanan's comments are an insult to Americans who died in World War II. Interesting party.
I'd like to see those two fist fight. I'd like to see those two fist fight.
It may happen.
I wouldn't care who really won.
This is Donald Trump. Vote for me because I know Hitler's bad. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome to Trump Plaza.
So far, the Reform Party has given us Ross Perot, Jesse Ventura, Pat Buchanan, possibly, and of course, Donald Trump.
Oh, well,
possibly.
What a great party.
What a party.
Hitler's bad. Vote for me.
Yeah, tough for Donald Trump, you know. It's like really, really tough platform.
Tough stand to take.
Last time out. More news, more comments. Coming right up.
This son of a bitch. The enemy, Jack Diamond, a.k.a. Harvey Joel Fisher.
The Harvey Joel Fisher Pandora's box has been opened.
Everybody in the radio business hates you.
So does this war have Harvey in over his head?
I got some news for you. You're in deep water now, okay? You're swimming with the big boys now.
Don and Mike even mercifully offer the enemy a way out.
And the only way it's going to end is when you come on this show and ask us publicly to please stop talking about you.
But despite all of his tough talk, Harvey Joel pussies out just 24 hours later.
Harvey.
Good morning.
All right, well, I will accept this as your apology since you were big enough to call us.
Well, thank you, guys.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Have a nice day.
Thank you very much.
The Allied forces of the Don and Mike Show prove victorious once again, keeping America safe. So remember what we've learned. Don't f*** with Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. And God bless America.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
They are the blood and the pus in the comedy zit.
We tried.
Don and Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Since you played Lenny Kravitz here, a lot of 16-year-old boys keep Playboy magazine under their beds. When Lenny Kravitz was 16, he kept a teenage hooker under his bed.
That's why he's so cool, Buzz.
The musician tells VH1 Storytellers he was trying to save the 13-year-old girl from life on the streets. He says his mom was angry when she discovered the hooker under his bed.
His mom was too busy being married to the white guy on the Jeffersons.
Oh, that's right.
That's who his mom was, right?
What was her name? She had an exotic
Roxy
name.
Roker.
Roxy
Helen
Roker.
Willis.
Ah, Roxy Roker.
What was her name? It was Helen Willis?
Helen Willis.
Right. Helen. What was her husband's name?
Tom Willis. Mm-hmm. And they worked at, Helen and Wheezy worked at the Help Center. That was their volunteer job.
There you go, man. What a
Thank
brain.
Thank you, Brains.
Brain, you had it that time, man.
Well, eventually, Lenny says the whole family banded together to help get the girl back on track. He says he wrote a song about it. And he says the woman now has a family and keeps in touch with him.
He never gave us that information when he was on our show. He never gave us anything when he was on our show.
He's a great musician.
He was very sleepy the day he was on our show.
Yes, very, very tired, like he'd just taken a nap.
He works hard. Voters in
like
Washington.
Joe Ardinger.
Voters in Washington, D.C. found out yesterday.
Right, nap time.
Voters in Washington found out yesterday that 70% of them had voted for the medical use of marijuana. The vote was taken last November.
That's a good segue, Buzz.
Thank you. I thought you'd like that. Mm-hmm. The results had been kept secret until yesterday.
It'll be money.
Because Republicans in Congress have no intention of letting this happen. The plan approved by voters would allow for the growth, possession, sale, and use of marijuana for people seriously ill. But lawmakers don't want their opponents running ads.
Hi, this is Surf.
That say they voted to legalize the stuff.
Can't get rid of the shoulder pain.
So the plan's not likely to become law, even though it's already the law in Alaska, California, Oregon, Washington State, and Arizona.
Woo!
Sure. Maybe it wasn't a good idea to hang around till after SeaWorld closed and climb into an ice-cold tank with a
SeaWorld, that's where Kathy Lee Gifford lives.
No,
SeaWorld.
No, this is SEA, the one in Florida.
Okay.
You remember this?
It's another one. It's the one down in Texas.
The story last summer about the guy who climbed into the whale tank.
And died, right?
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now the man's family is suing SeaWorld.
Oh, sure.
Didn't we have a...
This is the end of the Don and Mike Show.